You know, I got a vasectomy over the weekend, Friday.
What was the process where that came down so, out of the blue?
All right, I'll tell you. I'm the kind of guy who, if I have to do something uncomfortable that I'm not really excited about, I do it right away. I get it over with. I don't let it hang over my head and dread, you know, and think about it and just let people, like, freak me out and get all worried about it. If I know I have to do it, I want to do it as soon as possible.
Right.
Just get it over with. Whatever's negative or, you know, something like that. So, Monday we decide, you know what, I need to get a vasectomy.
Because you can't, let's face it, you can't have any more goddamn kids.
Right. So, I tell my wife, you call whoever, you know, get somebody good and line me up, get me an appointment as soon as possible. So, Wednesday was my appointment.
Right.
I went in Wednesday, I said, this is what I want to do. He said, fine. He said, when do you want to do it? A couple weeks? I said, nope, as soon as possible.
Right.
This week? Yeah, Friday. Okay, so Friday. So they made me an appointment for Friday.
And we did not hear about it until 5 minutes before the end of the show on Friday.
And I'll tell you why.
We were so upset.
And I know, you were all upset. The honest truth is, I was really scared. Because it's my, you know, it's my package.
Your junk.
Sure.
Yeah.
It was not funny.
No?
To me.
Not to you.
And what I want to do is I want to get it over with as soon as possible so I don't have time to think about all the negativity.
So you didn't want to spend Thursday and Friday having people call up and go, oh, let me tell you what happened to my friend.
Right, exactly. That's the last thing I wanted. And that's only part one is that I was really, really, I really was scared. And part two is that it's kind of embarrassing.
Sure. No, there's nothing embarrassing about getting
it
a vasectomy.
Kind of
it's one
though.
Of the most common male operations in the world.
It's fine, though. It's still when you walk in to the doctor's office, everybody's looking at you because you're about to get your cut.
Right.
You know, I just didn't want, like, to make a big production out of it.
Dude, you are usually so proud of your penis, though. I mean, you're a guy who can talk about your penis for hours.
I know, but they were going to cut into it. I've lived my life by one thing, and that's three things that I violated this Friday. All three things got violated this past Friday. One is, never let guys near your junk.
Okay.
I think that's good advice.
So you go in, and the doctor says, drop your shorts, and right there,
alarm goes off. I violated the ketamine master plan right now.
Number two is never put anything sharp near.
Right.
Yeah.
And number three is never, ever, under any circumstances, have smoke coming from your penis.
Wow.
Those are the three things that I violated on Friday. So anyway, so Friday, I read the little paperwork. I hadn't paid any attention to it because I didn't want to think about it.
Right.
That's why I didn't tell
you. You wanted to be surprised.
Yeah. So I read the paperwork, and they say that you're supposed to shave.
Oops.
You're supposed to shave? They don't shave you?
Yeah. Well, they will, but I don't want, you know.
You don't want that either, yeah.
So I go to the store, to Long's. And I start looking for, like, the best stuff. And I'm just thinking,
ask the pharmacist?
This is the worst day of my life. And I'm looking for the best stuff, and I finally find the best stuff. And so then I go home, and I realize now not only am I going to let somebody else put something sharp down there,
now
I'm putting something sharp.
Hey, what did you decide was the best stuff? What does Kevin use to shave his pubes?
You know, the honest truth is I went with now you guys are going to give me a hard time.
Of course we are.
A delightful scent, Barbasol?
The reason that I picked this is because
it
looked like it had it was for the most.
The gentlest.
Most hair?
It was some kind of female thing.
For
shaving legs.
No.
Yeah,
no.
Because I figured it was more sensitive than guys' faces.
No.
Girls' legs.
Now, do you use a disposable razor?
No, I bought the best razor you can find because I wanted a
metal
with
sharp
razor with safety.
A women's razor
on both sides.
You shave your nuts. You didn't even call me about shaving tips. I am really offended.
I didn't want anyone to know. It was embarrassing.
Oh, Jimmy wrote a thesis in college on shaving your nuts.
Are you a little itchy yet? Is that starting to happen for you?
Yes, thank you. So I go in. And they say, hey, welcome, and I got to fill out a bunch of paperwork, and I'm not talking to – my wife took me, and I'm not – by the way, I made them prescribe me something for before I went.
To grow the hair back?
No. Oh. I made them prescribe
Xanax.
Xanax.
What does that do?
To relax you.
To relax me.
Really? Yeah. Before? You were that worried about it?
I really was that worried.
Wow.
He's just adding to his supply.
I'm telling you guys, that's why I didn't bring it up last week, and I made him give me that. He gave me a prescription for one pill, and I took it like an hour before I went so that it would calm me down.
Dude, you are a hardcore wuss.
I know.
Hardcore.
But only when it comes to my unit.
Right.
So I go in, and they make me put on a little robe. And he has an assistant, and they, get ready.
What guy or girl? What's
girl?
Yeah,
Miss Sweden 91.
Yeah, she's cute. All right, so anyway,
wasn't that part of your fear? That's why one of the reasons you didn't want to do a show with the vasectomy is you were worried about, you know, we'd be sending out hot chicks, and here you are trying to stay calm.
I can honestly say that this is the first time in my life
there was a hot chick around,
and I was too scared to even think about
it. Wow, that is serious.
I really was petrified. I was just sitting there. I was starting to sweat.
So it's not even like you were trying to talk it down.
No. No.
Please, not now. Please, not now. Please, not now. Please, not now.
No, because I was too scared. I was too afraid of what was just about to happen. And then they pull up the little table, and they start uncovering all of the the prehistoric tools. And the guy says, this is going to be the worst part of it. And I'm laying back, and I say, I don't want to watch anything. And they say, do you have a problem fainting? And I said, no, not really.
And the next thing he remembers.
They were wheeling him out of the office?
I wish. But I can't watch. So I said, I'm not going to look. So he said, fine. He pulls out a needle that was probably 75 feet long.
That is bad.
What is the first step? Do they numb you?
Can't they use a topical and then the needle?
I don't know if... I wasn't watching. All I know is he said, this is going to be the worst part. And he stabs me with the needle. Now, this hurts.
Yeah, I'll bet it hurts.
Pretty badly.
Yeah.
Well, and Lisa, you've never had this done, so let me just tell you. Needles are like sharp in some jargon. It's not like a paintbrush.
And all you can think as a guy is, I have got to, whenever something like this comes near you, you cover up, you move, you can't move.
You dodge.
You can't protect. You just have to sit there and let them inflict this pain.
Yes.
What's the doctor's assistant, Miss Sweden 91, doing at this time?
I don't know.
Yeah, you didn't even remember.
You just had
your eyes closed?
I was just like looking at the ceiling, and I was just like going, oh my God. God, this hurts. Please stop. Please
stop.
Please.
And is it just
junk?
The slowest thing in the world?
It takes literally an hour and a half.
And all you keep thinking is,
I weep for the future.
Yes, right. Exactly. So finally he finishes that, and I think, all right, well, okay.
If that's the worst part, at least it's over and I'm still alive.
Right. Then, right after that, he does something else that hurts worse.
Oh.
What did he do?
I don't know. I'm not watching. But I yelled at him. I said, ow! Like mad yell. That was like a dick.
What the hell are you doing?
Because to my dick.
He said, well, that sounded mad. I said, you told me the last thing was going to be the worst. It hurts. I was like being mean to him.
Ouch!
Not because...
Because he lied to you.
Well, I don't know. He said, well, I'll just give you some more. So then he gave me another shot.
Which hurt again.
Dude, three times, one side, no.
What was the thing he did in the middle?
He must have started with the surgery and you weren't that deadened yet.
That's what happened.
Didn't you wait a minute?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I'm sure he's used to most guys' pain level, and I think I was worse than most guys. So anyway, he goes through that, and then he says, don't worry about the smoke. And I said, what? He said, don't worry about the smoke. And all of a sudden, I looked up, and there was smoke coming up from the penis.
No.
No, that's bad, right?
Yes.
Smoke bad.
Yes.
Penis on fire.
I said, my penis is smoking.
Your penis is the penis of fire, though, but that was really more of an expression than to be literal.
It wasn't, and I didn't even ask him what he was doing. I take for granted I don't know what they do.
Well, you know, that's from the laser.
And at that point, I thought, I don't care what any of the K-Rock audience is doing. I don't care what Bean is doing, Jimmy's doing. I'm having the worst weekend right now because my penis is smoking.
Hey, when they start up the laser show, do they at least put on the Pink Floyd Dark Side
of
the Moon?
No, nothing. And so right then when the smoke started coming up, I started sweating like a dog.
Oh, bad.
And I thought, what a wuss. I'm sweating now. And I said, is it normal that I'm sweating? And they said, oh, yeah, it's normal. And they got me a cold rag, and I was like a second from passing out.
Oh,
what a pussy.
Man, this is f***ing weak.
Every guy does this. No big deal.
You're almost passing out.
Yeah. But
was he, you know, smoking or watching TV or anything while he was in? He was paying attention?
Paying attention. He was doing fine.
Yeah.
But I was just pathetic.
How long would you say the whole thing took?
15 minutes.
And
seemed like 4 weeks.
Did they stitch you back up?
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't watch.
You don't know? You haven't
he
looked.
He hasn't looked.
I didn't watch. I haven't looked.
Christmas will be chill and wet, and coast-to-coast ice and snowstorms have screwed up airline travel big time. Still, better to be stuck in an airport than in a plane that runs off the Denver runway and bursts into flames. Amazingly, nobody died.
All of a sudden, there was this giant fireball behind my husband's head, and I still have that image of him just grabbing my son's head and just pulling him towards himself.
National Transportation Safety Board investigators will pore over every piece of wreckage and interview the crew to try to find out what went wrong with the plane and the panicky evacuation. They'll also talk to passengers who say they knew there had been a problem before they got on.
Two people in critical condition. It was a Continental Airlines 737. Did you go shopping? Not enough of you. Did you go to the movies? Not enough of you. The numbers are disappointing. The retailers predicting bankruptcy with the new year. The movie box office down 40% from a year ago. The top three, Yes Man, 7 Pounds, and The Tale of Despero. Times are so hard, L.A.'s Fred Jordan Mission said they had to turn people away. Too much demand, not enough donors for Christmas charity. NFL Week 16, Chargers win, Eagles didn't, and the Raiders won. Al Davis suing the league, claiming basing the playoffs on the best record discriminates against his team. Is he Satan or stupid? Rain off and on through much of the week. Highs in the 50s. It's 53 at K-Rock. I'm Doc on the Rock.
It's time, ladies and gentlemen, for the iPod police. Now, Psycho Mike is the guy that we send out for this. And he goes out with a tape recorder and finds people that have headphones on and are listening to music on their iPod.
That's what I do.
Where did you get most of these?
Gold's Gym Pasadena. I'd like to thank them also for letting me pretty much roam free throughout their gym. Okay. Gold's Gym Pasadena.
So while people are working out, they're listening to iPods.
A lot of people there. The park that I always forget its name, right next to the Grove here in LA. And then also this time I got on a bus.
On a city bus.
Yeah. It just dawned on me. It was like a brilliant stroke of genius. And late at night, I'm like, where can I get more people? It's raining. Right. Where in LA do people have? And then I'm like, people on the bus are always listening to headphones. And I got on a bus.
Did you have you ever gotten on a bus here before?
Not in LA. No. When I used to live in the East Coast, I would, but it's a little bit more, you know,
kind of makes sense.
Reasonable,
there, and everybody
there
does it there.
Yeah, I've never, and you know, in the 20 some years I've lived in Los Angeles, I've never gotten on a
that
bus.
That is dedication.
Because you're rich and privileged. Okay, so so you get on the bus.
Yeah.
And how much does it cost? I don't know either.
I didn't actually ride, so it didn't matter. I told the bus driver at 8 o'clock at night, I was like, hey, at the bus stop, can I interview? I was interviewing people at the bus stop.
Oh, I see.
And I got on, I was like, can I talk to some of the people right here, that are listening to their headphones? There's only, one dude on that bus.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
And I talked to him.
I got you.
And, I think it's like 48 cents. I don't know. There's a little jar you put a token in, or if you have change.
I think it's a couple of bucks.
Is it?
I don't think it's 48 cents.
Well, there's a thing for like change or token, so I assumed it was.
Yeah,
not
it doesn't
over
matter.
A buck, you know?
It doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
So anyway, so you go up to people and you ask them what they're listening to.
Yeah.
And then as the iPod police, you take the appropriate action.
Sure.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's time. We present for you the iPod police.
Wherever their personal listening devices, you cannot avoid the big ears of the law. It's Officer Psycho Mike with the iPod police.
Hey, man, what's your name?
Michael.
What are you listening to there on your iPod?
Well, right now, I'm actually listening to Rise Against.
Oh, Rise Against. Nice. I'm impressed.
Yeah, they rock.
What else you got there on your iPod? Let me see.
I got a little bit of everything. I got some Metallica, some Guns N' Roses.
Some good choices.
Yeah, it's all my favorite music.
You have a girlfriend?
Yes and no.
Would you like one?
No.
Seems like we have a lot in common. I'm willing to be your bitch.
Yeah, I don't really swing that way, though. Sorry.
Well, if you ever want to, I can always kill my wife.
Yeah, I'll let you know. I'll get back to you on that.
Sweet. Excuse me, sir.
Yeah, what's happening?
You mind if I ask what you're listening to? I'm with the Department of Homeland Security.
Kid Rock.
Kid Rock?
Yeah.
You know, it's 2006, man.
Well, you want me to change it to another one?
No, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to write you a ticket for public intoxication.
I'm sorry.
Gay with your music. I'm going to need you to listen to all of Black Sabbath's albums from beginning to end.
Beginning to end. Sure. All right.
Thank you, sir. Excuse me, sir. Can I ask you a question?
F*** you, bro.
Okay. Hey, man, what do you listen to?
Dead Boys.
Dead Boys. Very nice. I'm impressed.
Well, yeah, I'm a cool motherfucker.
I'd just like to commend you for doing a service to the community by listening to good music. So keep it up, buddy. I'm here with fellow iPod police officer Jerome. How you doing, Jerome?
I'm doing good.
Jerome, what would we have to do in the iPod police to someone who is a seemingly normal grown man who is infatuated with Barry Manilow?
We have to check that nigga.
Yeah. What are you listening to there on your iPod?
Right now, it's Ashley Simpson.
Shut up.
Yeah. Look.
I just punched him.
Seriously, what the fuck, dude?
I'm the iPod police, sir, and I needed to administer some punishment. Obviously, a crime's been committed here.
Dude, you just fucking punched me.
Oh, okay, go. Can you put your headphones to the mic, please?
That's right, Jake Gyllenhaal. It is. It's a spicy, spicy sausage. Oh, yes.
Spicy, spicy sausage.
I ask what you're listening to?
Joseph Krikorian.
Ooh. And the song title?
Hoki Ses.
I'm not gonna lie, it kind of tripped me up there. Is that Arabic?
It's actually an Armenian singer.
All right, well, all willing, you go ahead and enjoy that.
All right, thank you.
Can I ask what you're listening to?
Listen to house music right now.
To go like this?
It's very similar, yeah. I go from house music to trance music.
I'm gonna have to write you a ticket for listening to music that contains no actual instruments. Do you understand the charges that are levied against you, sir?
No, I don't. Can you tell me, please?
You must watch 8 John Wayne movies and do 500 push-ups. Is that all right with you?
But I'll still listen to it. You give me as much as you want, as many tickets as you want. I'll still listen to it.
You're headed straight to Guantanamo. Naked pyramid for you. Biatch. Hey, dude, what are you doing?
Oh, wait. For the bus.
What do you listen to there on your iPod?
Beach Boys, Paula Abdul, America, Firefall.
I'm okay, sorry. Beach Boys, America, Firefall, Paula Abdul. Which one's the outlier, dude?
Probably Paula Abdul.
What draws you to Paula Abdul out of the other bands mentioned? It seems like you're, you know, you like the mullet rock, and then all of a sudden the talentless drug addict comes out of nowhere.
Well, when you're a 44-year-old guy, you know, and Paula Abdul's our age, and we just can relate to that.
So no. You two are talentless?
I am. I am very talentless, yes.
Okay, well, I'm with it.
division of the Homeland Security called the iPod Police. I'm going to have to write you a ticket. You're going to need to put your head in front of a fire hydrant and wash the gay away.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it, dickhead.
Oh, that's good work right there, Psycho Mike.
You're not the part of the Homeland Security that's picking up little chicks on the internet, are you?
No, of course not. But let me say this. The iPod Police is difficult because you're essentially going up to a sect of the public that is broadcasting to the world, I don't want to be bothered.
Exactly, yeah.
I have headphones
on. Leave
me
alone.
Please, I'm in my own little world, and I'm going up to only those people. I'm embraced about as well as like the IRS, you might say.
But at least the first guy you talked to, you offered gay sex.
Well, listen, Metallica, Guns N' Roses, Rise Against. Oh. You got to give that guy
that
a band.
That was strong. Okay, that was good.
Right? Yeah.
And then you gave a ticket for public intoxication.
Take a guess who was the one guy I talked to on the bus. The guy who told you, F you, bro. Persian guy.
Who was the guy listening to what, Paula Abdul?
He was a seemingly kind of well-to-do white middle-aged. He said 44. He doesn't look like your typical LA bus rider.
But
right? Still, why would he?
Sitting at the bus stop, and he was cool because I was like, hey, dude, do you mind if I ask what you're listening to? He goes, sure. Puts his iPod up to me and starts rifling through. And he's got Firefall America, the Eagles, Beach Boys, stuff like that. And all of a sudden, he breaks out Paula Abdul, and it kind of threw me for a loop, needless to say.
See, that's the thing about the iPod is it's such a personal thing that you can listen to the stuff that you would be embarrassed other people would know about until the iPod Police catches you.
We're always watching. Be careful.
And then punches you right in the stomach.
It's the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ, and it's the Kevin and Bean Show.
I want to thank the K-Rock listener who tipped me off to my new girlfriend, Debbie Dixon, or as I prefer to know her as W94033. She is a prisoner in Chowchilla, California, and you can go to KROQ.com and look on the sites section of the Kevin and Bean page to see her name and bio. I guess I can contact her through prisonpals.net, which is my new favorite website. Here's what it has to say about my girlfriend, Debbie, who, by the way, describe what she looks like to everybody. Lisa, you've seen the picture, right?
She's hot.
She's a very hot blonde, although I question the validity of this picture. Yeah. I mean, it could have been taken 15 years
ago. The picture was taken 15 years ago while she was still out, while she was still young, and while she still had both arms.
Well, I am going to say, though, and who knows if this is accurate, but according to her bio, she's only 25 years old.
Of course.
I mean, that's what it says anyway. So, anyway, young and sexy looking for someone to occupy my mind, stimulate my body, and lift my spirits. Now, that already you're screaming out for Bean, right? I mean, I'm the guy you think of, Lisa, right? When you want to stimulate your body, lift your spirits, occupy your mind. I mean, that's me.
Straight to Bean.
Of course.
Thank you. I enjoy trying new things, says Debbie.
Like
meeting
burglary.
New people, all outdoor recreation, music. Working out at the gym and experiencing life to its fullest.
Working out at the gym.
Here's my favorite part, by the way.
Have you ever once seen the inside of a gym?
On TV. I've seen her on TV.
In person, seriously.
Here's what I love about Debbie Dixon. Here's what I love about W94033 in Chowchilla is that she was convicted of burglary, okay? That's why she's in jail, for stealing stuff. So here's what she says in her bio. I am honest in all my doings.
Except for that time.
Affectionate of both the spoken word and touch, I have a thoughtful and intelligent mind, a sense of humor, and an adventurous nature. Age and race unimportant. I will answer everyone except prisoners. So,
how can she have something against prisoners?
That's what I'm wondering,
that's
by the way.
Hypocritical just a bit.
Because they're not honest like her.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Or they don't have a lot of money that they could send her, because in what she's looking for, she's seeking women, friends, men, and then donations, it says.
Really? She just wants you to plain old send her money?
Well, if she's got a Polaroid camera, I might consider spending her money if you look at this picture. All right, I was working on crafting an introductory note, and the key is you don't want to be one of those guys who just talk. I don't want to give too much away because I want there to be a little sense of mystery about me also, right?
I mean, she's in jail.
Right, but I'm thinking I can unveil the layers of my personality in the correspondence as we go on down the road.
The layers of hatred?
I don't need to tell her everything right up front.
Okay. Or she won't write you back.
All right, I got you.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Lisa. Hey, wait a minute. So I just wrote a really kind of a short, you know, how you doing letter.
So this is your first introductory letter to W930, whatever the prisoner's number
is. Yes, okay. I'm mailing this to Debbie today. Hey, Debbie, it says. ! Optimistic,
nice.
Friendly, upbeat. I thought about that a lot.
Good. Did you put your stupid little smiley face after it?
I saw your ad online this week and I realized I had to write you. You don't know me, but we have something in common. I'm also a prisoner of your heart. So, boom! Right out of the gate. I got her. Romance.
I cannot believe that.
I am also a prisoner of your heart. Then I go on. I am also a little bit of a gym rat, but... Commonality, people, right? Common
sure.
interest. She's into the gym. I'm into the
She's
gym.
Into lion. You're into lion.
I'm also a little bit of a gym rat, but we'll put down the weight thingies to send you some mail to help you pass the time.
Dude, don't call them weight thingies.
Really? Not weight thingies?
No, is that
I would say barbells, maybe.
Okay, I'll go back and read
the weight thingies.
I hope you can write me back. I'm, of course, looking forward to October of 2008 when you are released, but until then, I remain your most loyal pen pal, Bean. So that's kind of just the opening salvo, just to say I'm here.
But wait. You don't want to say you remain her
yeah,
most because
letter.
You're not her most loyal whatever you said,
and you might be scaring her by telling her you're waiting for her to get out.
Yeah, I think so. You're acting like you've had
a
relationship with her for like years already.
Okay,
so just say I hope to hear back from you soon. That's all.
Don't sound as deluded as you actually are.
Yes,
all
hide
right.
the delusion.
I will. I'll clean that right up.
Okay. All
right.
Good.
The prisoner of your heart and the gym rat and all that. You think all that's good?
That's
and
good.
That's
okay,
perfect. Yes.
All right. You want to talk to Todd? He's a former sheriff. He knows a little something about how these prison pen pal deals work. Todd.
Hey.
Hey, you been listening to this?
Yeah. How you guys been?
We're good. Thank
now,
you.
Now you're not going to try to break up my undying love for W94033, are you?
It's already done.
Listen, I was trying to tell him that this is probably a picture from like 15 years ago when she had both arms.
That's exactly what it is.
Thank you.
But it says she's only 25 years old.
So what?
The majority of the population, if they go in when they're slim and trim and looking good, by the time the food and the sedative lifestyle kicks in, they balloon right up.
They balloon up. Now, and she couldn't lie about her age. Right,
she's an honest person. It says here that she does. She's honest in all doings, Kevin. It's stunning when you start to poke around on the internet. There are dozens of these prison pen pal sites. I mean, it is enormously popular, right?
Yeah, it is. But the majority of them are for the loser male on the outside or the loser female on the outside, and then there's the prey on the inside, which is the inmate.
That's what I thought. It's kind of a big scam thing, right?
Exactly. That's exactly what it is.
They just try to take advantage of weak people and try to get their money or whatever?
Get their money, get their sympathy, have a place to stay when they get out of the joint because their family is throwing them out.
Who hurt you, Todd? Because it sounds to me like you're just a hater.
No, hey, it's a reality. It's a fact.
All right. Thanks for the call. We appreciate it.
All right.
All right, bye. Jamie in Garden Grove. Good morning.
Good morning, fellas. How are you guys?
We're very good. Thank you.
Good.
Tell us about your mom being in prison.
So, yeah, she would, you know, she heard about all these pen pals, and she just had pictures of my sister with her, and she would write to them and send them pictures of my sister saying, you know.
It was her?
It was her.
That's awesome. So she would write to guys and say, this is me, and it would be her daughter.
Exactly.
Awesome.
Exactly. And they would send her money into prison, and then she continued to do it afterwards, too.
Really? You mean
yeah.
she was out of jail and was saying she was in jail just so that she could correspond and get money?
No, she finally said, oh, yeah, I'm out.
Oh,
I see. Well, you know, we can meet up, this and that. She never did, but, I mean, there are some weirdos out there.
Woman that you're writing is 79 years old, and she's showing you a picture of her granddaughter.
Very well could be. Yeah, I guess it makes sense, because if you're in jail, like my girlfriend Debbie here, she's in prison for 4 more years. She has nothing but time to manipulate whoever she wants to.
Yep.
Yeah.
What's it to her?
My mom may know her.
Yeah, no kidding. All right. Thank you for the call. I appreciate that.
All right. And let's go to Karen in Chino. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning. How are you?
We're good. Now, you're a corrections officer.
I was for 12 and a half years.
Okay, good.
All right. And it's you were up there in Chino, is that right?
I was in CRC in Norco.
Okay.
Is this fairly commonplace that the women behind bars are looking for pen pals on the outside to send them stuff?
Yes, they have men. The men and women are, but I worked in the women's visiting unit for 4 years, and they would have different pen pals sending them letters, and then they would get them to send them money and stamps and come visit them and bring them in drugs. And
oh, you're kidding. They just wanted to just kind of milk them for stuff?
For as much as they can get. They have nothing but time.
Are you saying that they're not reputable and that you can't be trusted?
That's exactly what I'm saying.
I mean, how could you break a little boy's heart like that?
Seriously. I mean, in Debbie's profile at prisonpenpals.net, she says, I am honest in all of my doings, affectionate in both spoken word and touch. I mean, that is just a beautiful person on the inside and the outside, Karen.
She's She's very good at manipulating words.
Okay, here's my plan, Bean. This is what I said. I had a plan for you. I think you should write two letters, and you should write one of them. You should sound like you have a lot of money. And the other one, you should hint or sound like you have no money and see if she responds to both. Because I'll bet if Karen is right, she'll only respond to the one that sounds like you have a lot of money.
Interesting.
Maybe so.
How about that?
That's a good idea.
Which letter can I send a Polaroid camera with and get her to take naughty pictures for me?
She's 79. You want naughty pictures of a 79-year-old?
She's not 79. She's 25.
She's not hot. 25.
She's hot. And she's a big old dog.
Oh, see?
Where's the laugh?
This is the Kevin and Bean Show on 106.7 KROQ.
Hello, everybody. This is Steve-O from Jackass. I want each and every one of you guys to have a very merry and safe Christmas this year. So I will now demonstrate the things you should not, and I repeat, not do this holiday season. Do not pour female reindeer urine all over yourself and then climb into a pen filled with male reindeers during mating season. You should not force a gallon of rum-spiked eggnog up your ass. Ooh, that feels kind of good. And lastly, you should not, and I mean not, swallow an entire string of Christmas tree lights. And then plug them in. Have a happy and safe holiday.
On 6.7 KROQ.
Today, we want to talk about things that you did that were funny to each other when they passed out.
Uh-huh.
And so we bring in our assistant producer, Mike. What to up? The studio. Good morning, Mike.
Howdy.
Tell us your story.
This guy got wasted around me one time, totally passed out. I mean, incapacitated. So I shaved off his hair, but not his head hair, his hair off the nether regions.
Uh-huh.
I took some,
really?
Some sink cleaning gloves, put them on to make sure that I wasn't
touching anything,
hurting my hetero street cred. And I shaved off all of it. I saved it. Then I took toothpaste and I drew a goatee on his face with the toothpaste and then sprinkled the hair that I had collected over it and gave him,
gave him
a brand new goatee.
Look at that, a pubic goatee.
Yeah.
And he wakes up and he can't believe what he's looking at when he gets to the mirror.
Good times.
I like it. And then he said, hey, who was that close to my, what's going on here?
And you've been, of course, you've been the victim of a fair amount of those sorts of things too, right? You've been the guy who's woken up and then seen Polaroids of what was waving around in your face and you couldn't believe it because you're passed out.
In fact, there's some listeners right now probably, if they were to get a hold, if those were digital pictures, they'd probably already be emailed to Lightning right now.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. You know, it's funny. I'm not one of the type of people that pass out. I might fall asleep, but I don't pass out to where I couldn't wake up, no matter how much I drink. And some people, though, when they go out, they go out.
Yes.
And you could pretty much, there could be the USC marching band could walk through that room and they would just be out cold. So that's what we're looking for. We're looking for the pranks that you pulled on people while they were out. All right, let's go to Sarah in Anaheim. Hi there.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, thanks. Tell us what you did.
We were at a party with our club, and my husband decided to down a bottle of Jaeger, which is his favorite drink.
Smart.
Not anymore, as it is. But about 20 minutes later, we checked on him. He was still breathing and everything. So being his wife, I decided to go ahead and get on top of him and write F-I-F men on his forehead.
That's good.
The whole thing. Our friend painted his toenails and his fingernails. We sharpied him. We put mustard and ketchup on him. And he is known for wearing SpongeBob boxers.
Sure.
And our friends brought out his daughter's costume of SpongeBob, dressed him up from head to toe in SpongeBob.
Right.
And put him in the group picture of 30 of us.
Very nice.
Sharpies. And I have a hint on how to get Sharpie off.
Yes, please.
nail polish remover.
Oh, really?
Okay.
Well, my husband, because he loved it so much, he left the nail polish on his fingernails and toes.
Well, it sounds to me like you guys are married to the right person.
Yes, he is. He hasn't passed out anymore, and he hates Jaeger.
He's the right guy for you, and you are the right guy for him. Thanks for the call. We appreciate it.
Oh, that's great.
All right, let's talk about some explosions.
You ought to be able to count on your wife, by the way, to not be the one to participate.
No, come on. That's just good,
don't
clean
you think?
Fun. If you pass out, it's good, clean fun. You deserve it.
Your spouse.
Mike in Canoga Park. Hi there.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good, thanks.
Yeah, basically what I did, my friend was passed out on New Year's, and we attached those little, like, pull firework things to his hand.
Right.
So when he woke up, he rolled over. They went off in his face.
Oh,
dude.
Singed off his eyebrows. It was horrible. Basically, the next day, he was walking around so passed out that he didn't realize his eyebrows were singed off. So everywhere we went, people were just laughing at him. He didn't know why.
So the fireworks singed off his eyebrows. Did it hurt him in any other way? Did it burn his skin or anything?
I don't know. If it did, he was probably too drunk to realize
nice.
It.
That's the
wow.
beauty. Nice.
Yeah, there's that fine line between pranking and setting your friend on fire, though, Mike. You got to be careful of, you know? Thanks for the call, though.
All right.
We got to talk to Al because I think this is the classic. And I don't know why it is that guys, this is the first thing they think that they're going to do if they have the opportunity to, but it is.
Yeah, Al, hi.
Hi, good morning, guys. Good morning, Lisa May.
Good morning, Al.
Tell us what you did to your friend.
To teach our friend a lesson for getting drunk and passing out on wine coolers, we set him down at the end of a couch.
I'm sorry, I thought you said wine coolers.
He passed out, got drunk on wine coolers.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so right away, I thought it was my duty to get back at him. So we put him down at the end of the couch. We got some Jergens lotion, placed it on the corner of his mouth, on his chin. And I got my friends and I to take out our units.
Yeah.
We placed them on his face. We took pictures. Never told him anything about it.
Right.
We forgot about ourselves until I go to Save-On's and I get the pictures back. And I remembered. The way he found out was we left the pictures on his girlfriend's windshield.
Very nice.
Oh, that's sweet.
Very nice.
That's a nice touch.
Now, do you still have those pictures?
As a matter of fact, I have the negatives.
That's what I'm talking about. I think you need to send in those pictures.
Oh, I will.
All right. Thank you, Al, for the call. We appreciate it. All right. Let's go to Adam in Rancho Cucamonga. Good morning, Adam.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, thanks. Tell us about your friend and his feet.
Oh, we got a friend that's notorious for passing out. So one night... we glued his socks on.
Super glued his socks on.
Yes. But the sad thing about it is he's the hairiest person you'll ever meet.
Oh, no.
So it just kind of ripped it off?
Oh, pretty much. You should have heard him in the bathroom.
Oh,
that's
ouch.
So sad.
That's so good. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it.
See, now my only fear is that Lisa will never drink again around us. That's the problem with doing this on the air.
I think you got that right.
She's pretty careful anyway.
Pretty
Scott
scary.
In Fullerton, good morning.
Yeah,
I find this one hard to believe, but let's hear your story.
Yeah, I was partying with a 4x club up in Big Bear for a new members meeting, and one of the young new members went and passed out early, so they took him and duct taped him to the front grill of the hugest Chevy 4x they had in the club and drove him around the streets of Big Bear.
Oh my gosh.
Duct taped to the front of the truck?
Yeah, and on the big old Busch Gardens grill.
Did he wake up while all that was happening?
Oh, yeah, he woke up and they were driving around the streets and he starts screaming he's got to take a leak and they wouldn't let him down. And...
Oh, no, that's awesome.
That's torture.
That was great.
Hey, by the way, don't try this at home. This is not funny. Of course not.
It was really funny.
Right. Thank you, Scott, for the call. Wow, this is very, very scary here. Let's go to Jason in Bellflower.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
By the way, the message here is don't get so drunk that you pass out right away.
Right.
It's a total bogus move.
Dude, you're a victim.
Yes, you deserve what you get. All right, Jason, go ahead.
Okay, what we did was we took a 25-pound Olympic weight and duct taped it around my friend.
Oh.
And what we did was we took him and then we duct taped him to the coffee table.
Right.
And the next morning, I mean, we were all drunk too, so we didn't wake up until around 1 or 2. And all we hear is this guy moaning downstairs in the... In the living room.
Can't move.
Couldn't move.
Probably wet himself.
See, and he deserved that. That's what I'm saying, because you go out first, you're a loser. And everybody else is sitting around, and they're drunk, and they're looking for some fun? Come on. What do you expect them to do?
This is Bean speaking. I have to ask, am I missing out on something going through my entire life and never waking up duct taped to furniture? Is that something that everyone should experience at some time?
Of course. Your life is super boring.
Have you ever seen anyone blowing me?
No.
Want to keep it that way, or should we have an ambulance on call for you? Do a handstand.
Handstand.
Now.
Did you ever hear the story of the Fisher King?
I feel like I'm a magnet, but I attract shit. Out of all the people in the city, why did I meet a man whose wife I killed?
This is it. This is the moment of your death.
I'm
afraid. I have no fear.
You all are here today because this is a horse who won't give up. Even when life beats him by the nose. Everybody loses a couple. And you either pack up and you go home or you keep fighting. Isn't that right?
Nobody calls me Lebowski. You got the wrong guy. I'm the dude, man.
Your name's Lebowski, Lebowski.
Please welcome Jeff Bridges.
I got to tell you, 4 Oscar nominations, but you can't close the deal, Jeff. What's up with that?
How do you start an interview like that?
Nice, B. Nice.
Way to welcome the guy.
Put me on my heels, man. Nice
Jeff Bridges, we've been talking about him all week long in anticipation of his appearance today. We couldn't be happier to welcome you to the studios of K-Rock, Jeff.
You.
Thank you for coming in,
good
man.
Morning,
appreciate that.
Man.
Lisa, Ralph, we got this one. Thanks, buddy.
What?
We got this.
You can step out, Ralph.
You might need some help.
You might need some help.
I think we might need some food.
No, I think you need some help.
Ralph loves himself to Jeff Bridges, as we all do.
He sure does.
You've done so many great movies.
Thank you, man.
You're the dude. I mean, come on.
You are the dude. And I want to ask you, before we embarrass Ralph by putting him on the spot to tell you all the stuff he's told us off the air, is that the one you hear from the most from your fans when they run into you on the street on planes and stuff like that?
These days, yes. I mean, I don't know if you guys have attended the Lebowski Fest.
No.
No, we heard about that.
They're popping up all over the country. I went to one here in L.A. and had a great time, performed with my band, and it was amazing.
Did you have to do it in character? Were you the dude?
Not only was I the dude, but I performed to a sea of dudes.
Are they all drinking white Russians?
Russians and, you know, 2 days it goes on. Bowling. And
that movie, if you guys, awesome. If you guys haven't seen it, that movie came out in 1998. It's The Big Lebowski, and it is so fantastic. You've also done Tucker. You've done The Fabulous Baker Boys, The Fisher King, which was also great. The Vanishing, Blown Away, White Squall, Arlington Road, Contender, Cape. I mean, it just goes on and on and on.
The directors that you've worked with, from John Huston to Peter Weir to Terry Gilliam to Bogdanovich, I mean, do an incredible body of work just to work with all those people.
I've been really fortunate that way. And some of my favorite guys to work with, and Stickit is a case where this is so, first-timers like Jessica Benninger, who directed Stickit.
First-time director.
First-time director, Steve Clovis, the guy who directed Fabulous Baker Boys. Uh-huh. I think he was 26 when he directed that.
Do you throw your weight around when they're first-time directors? You go, look, I've made some movies in my time.
No.
I'll tell you what John Huston once told me.
Probably the best movie of all time was directed by a first-timer, Citizen Kane.
That's
right?
True, yeah.
Isn't that something?
First-time director.
First-time guys bring all that innocence, and, you know, I don't
Jeff
know.
Jeff was in that. A lot of people don't remember him. He's young.
He was the sled. He was Rosebud.
Let me just finish on that thought, though, because you bring up a great question, Kevin, and that is, tell me about working with this first-time director on this movie, Stickit, for instance. I mean, how much guidance do you give, or do you bite your tongue and let her find her way when you're making a movie with a first-timer?
I do a bit of each. I mean, in this case, Jessica, one of the things that brought me to this project was the fact that she was ranked 3rd in Connecticut on floor exercise when she was a preteen. So she knew all about this world that the movie was about.
Oh, I see. And so
that's something you notice when you watch the movie. You learn so much about it. You said she must have been through this because the stuff that they talk about, how they judge and how unfair it is to the athletes and stuff, is really sort of very interesting.
Here's what a good actor you are, though, Jeff, because when I first saw the trailer, I thought, you know, Jeff Bridges isn't the guy that pops to mind as a coach of gymnastics right away.
Right.
And yet Ralph says you're brilliant in it, that you pull it off perfectly well.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Ralph.
Why did you want to do it, Jeff? What is attractive to you about this story?
Well, like you say, it's not the what you'd think the kind of movie that I might do, and that's one of the things that attracted me to it. I'd like to kind of shake it up and, you know, hang a 180 whenever I can, a 90, you know, something just to shake it up. Also, I am a father of 3 girls. I live in a household full of girls. I have 2 dogs. They're girls.
Yes.
Well, if you have girls, they make and, sure the dogs and, are girls.
Yeah, so, you know,
wow.
I, that kind of, you know.
I so you needed more estrogen? And, is that what
there
you needed?
You know, I longed for that.
That's like why at home.
That's why he came into the studio.
He's like, get out. Get out of the house. My God.
These girls, I understand from Ralph, who saw the movie this week, may distract one from the plot line in some scenes.
Yeah, well, you know, you got the tights working, man. The leotard, and hopefully that will bring the boys into the theater.
Would you mind telling us the ages of most of them? Because Ralph was a little worried that they weren't quite 18 yet.
It's all right, Ralph.
It's okay.
In their early 20s.
Oh, in their early 20s. All right.
You might have one 19-year-old in there.
All right, good.
Fantastic.
Then the thought police won't be pulling me over anytime soon. That's good.
Ralph, tell us about the early days of acting school and how that relates to Mr. Bridges.
Give us tell, stories.
About, tell us that story.
Before you came in, Jeff, I was telling these guys a story that when I... First of all, one of the reasons I became an actor was my dad was a big Clint Eastwood fan, and he took me to see a movie called Thunderbolt and Lightfoot when I was a kid.
Ah.
And I was so blown away by Jeff in that movie, because here's this young guy tagging along with Clint Eastwood, and they're robbing banks, and it's so much fun, and then not to ruin the movie for anybody, but then he dies at the end of it. And I was crushed for like a week after I saw that movie. And I said, I want to be able to make people feel like that guy in that movie made me feel. It was one of the reasons I started to become an actor. So I come out here to Los Angeles, and I'm in acting class years ago, and we used to have to bring in our own scenes to this, it was a screen acting class where they would put you on tape and stuff. So the first week we were supposed to, okay, it's a romantic comedy week, bring in something. So I bring a scene from Nadine that Jeff did with Kim Basinger. And then in subsequent weeks, I brought in a scene from Fabulous Baker Boys, and I brought something in from 8 Million Ways to Die, and then I brought something in from The Morning After. And after the fourth week, literally the teacher pulled me aside and said, can you bring in anything that doesn't star Jeff Bridges? And I said, okay, all right, if I have to. But that's a hero worship thing. You want to be doing what that guy's doing up there. It's so impressive. It's just amazing.
Who was the Jeff Bridges for you when you were growing up? Was it your dad? Was he the guy you looked to and said, man, I want to do that?
I never said, man, I want to do that. I wanted to be a rocker, I think, when I was just starting, when I was a teenager. But my dad, unlike the parents in this movie Stick It, where you have parents that are kind of pushing their kids and want to live vicariously through their kids sort of thing. My dad wasn't like that, but he dug what he was doing, the whole showbiz thing, so much that he wanted to turn his kids on to it, and he turned me on at 6 months, man. I was carried on. It's 6 months.
Wow. Oh, really?
Do you remember that feeling?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
But what are the odds that you and Bo would both be so good, too? A lot of people get pushed into careers that they don't necessarily flourish in, but you guys are incredible.
Well, we have such a ball to work together, and we're always looking for stuff to do. We only got that one, Baker Boys, but we're looking for some more stuff.
Is there any pressure after a movie like Baker Boys that was amazing and you guys were so great in it to follow it up? You don't want to necessarily tarnish that experience.
Yeah, you don't want to just do it as a gimmick or something, or the brothers working together. You want to find that kind of, something special.
Like I was asking Ralph, I think it was yesterday, when we were talking about you coming in, how it is you've done this many great movies and you're that good in all of them, but you don't seem to have the... I don't know, not the A-list name, but there are other people who are superstars that you've never quite... But then when they talk about acting, you're at the top. How did that work?
I don't know. Maybe...
Do you stay out of the public?
I've gone out of my way not to develop a strong persona. My father, I don't know, you guys might not remember this. He did a movie or a TV show back in the 60s called Sea Hunt.
Right.
I do remember.
And he pulled that character, Mike Nelson, off so well... playing the skin diver, that people thought he was a skin diver.
Right.
And for years after that, he struggled with only getting skin diver scraps.
Right. Right.
And then
a lot of those being made.
And later on, I was doing a movie, Blown Away, and there was a part for my uncle. So I go up to the producer and I say, I know who might be good for this part. Do you know Lloyd Bridges? And the guy laughs. He said, oh, yeah, your father. He's a wonderful actor, but he's really more of a comedian. And I said, what are you talking about? He says, well, all the airplane movies. God, give the guy a break.
He can't avoid it.
We had to go in. We had to audition for the thing.
Yeah.
You develop that strong persona. People kind of put you in a niche.
Right.
And in one way, it's kind of, makes you famous. But there's a downside of fame that I tried to kind of skirt, And
You've chosen so many different types of characters.
Yeah, kind of shake that up. And it makes it more fun for me. And hopefully it... happily confuses the audience, so they don't know quite, what. I think it's easier for them to project the character up on me if they don't.
They get lost in the movie a little bit.
Yeah, right.
Is there any part of you? I think I know the answer, but is there any part of you who thinks of the commercial prospects of a film when you get a script? Like, you look at Seabiscuit. Do you do it because you think it's a great role, or do you do it because you think it's going to be a big hit?
Well, hopefully, it's a kind of a combo, But I like to do weird movies.
Yeah.
Movies that are a little off. That's my kind of my favorite thing. But then, like I said, the next one I'd like to do something, more commercial that'll hit a wider audience, like Stick It,
Speaking of weird, tell us about the new Terry Gilliam movie that you have already made that you told us you've ever been involved
in. And it's even the weirdest Terry Gilliam movie.
Wow. Really
and you cool. worked with Terry in Fisher King. He directed
That's
that.
That's right.
Yeah.
And, God, I don't even know how to start this story.
Does it have a plot? Is there dialogue?
It has a plot. There's a wonderful book by Mitch Cullen called Tideland that people might want to check out. The movie stars Jodelle Ferlander, you know, the girl that you're seeing these posters around without a mouth?
Yes. Oh,
yeah. What's
it called? Silent Hill.
Yeah.
Silent Hill, yeah.
Yeah, this girl is amazing, and she's in the film.
Did she ever get a mouth?
She has a mouth in our film. I don't know, you know.
CGI. They put that in digitally.
Yeah. It's like Clutch Cargo. Do you remember Clutch Cargo?
The lips through the cardboard? Yeah.
So but, what makes it so weird, though?
He's
speechless.
I don't know even where to begin. It's kind of an Alice in Wonderland kind of deal, you know. It's about the power of this little girl's imagination and some of the characters in the film that are actually the bigger parts than I have in it are doll heads.
She
collects Barbie-like doll heads. Not they aren't exactly Barbies, but sort of Barbies. And they talk, and it's so bizarre.
Well, that could happen. I mean,
it is bizarre. When does that come out? Do you know
that? Well, it's opening in England. I don't know if it has a distributor here yet. It might. I'm not sure. One of the things that drew me to that, besides the chance to work with Terry, is that I get to play a rocker in that.
Oh, you're a singer, yeah.
And I got to do a song that one of my best friends, John Goodwin, we've been making art and music together since the fourth grade. He wrote it, and it's called Van Gogh in Hollywood.
We have a clip.
I have a clip of that.
Cool.
Jeff Bridges doing Van Gogh in Hollywood.
God is a camera, baby. Show us more breasts for every name and a star on that dirty boulevard. 10,000 of his guys shot through the heart. The eyes of the Dutchman, he took it all in. His perfume of money, hid the smell of sin. Miss September gave it up to Robin Hood the day Vincent Van Gogh came to Hollywood.
If you could go back now and give up your movie career and be a rock star your whole life, would you do it?
I don't have to. I do
that's
both.
True. That's
I do
answer.
Both. You know. I mean, that's what's so. I'm kind of happy I didn't do the rock thing because I probably wouldn't have been able to work with all the great directors and the folks that I've been able to do that with.
Jeff, I hope you'll come back and see us again sometime.
I sure will. It's been great.
We've enjoyed
with you guys.
When Big City Dick comes out, we want to talk to you.
Oh, all right. Yeah. You got it.
Thank you. This is the world famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show.
PetSmart is a big chain of pet stores.
Yes.
They sell food and stuff, toys for your pets and stuff. And they keep telling me this year that I need to buy presents for my animals because I'm a pet parent.
That's correct.
Because
yes.
These animals are my children, they're telling me now.
Right.
They can't just be my pets anymore. We can't just be a nice, friendly pet owner relationship. Now they have to be my children. Now I have to adopt them and raise them as human children.
I had drunken answering machine messages from Ralph at late in the night, Saturday and Sunday night. You don't know what I'm saying, Bean. You're not parents.
You just own them. Can't you just own your dog? Is that enough? Isn't enough just to love and own your dog?
A lot of
pet owner.
But a lot of people who don't have kids look at them.
Are crazy.
We're their caretakers.
They look at them as their children.
That's the problem. That's what I'm saying. We have to nip this in the bud. We have to stop this kind of mentality. It's dangerous.
I think people use it as a colloquialism. They don't actually think that they're children, but they treat them like children. I think that's what they're trying to say. They feel
the
like
problem.
They have a close relationship.
That's what I'm trying to snuff out, is the treating them like children part.
From guy who needs help, number one.
So, by the way,
very, very common. I don't do it, but I know a lot of people do buy Christmas presents, birthday presents for their pets.
You know your dog? Doesn't know it's Christmas.
No.
Has no idea.
Hey, Bean, you have birthday parties for your dog.
I have put Tater Tot in a party hat before.
Okay,
yes, that
it's the
true.
Kind of behavior I'm talking about.
And how are we supposed to beat him down when PetSmart is giving him the okay?
Right, exactly. PetSmart's signing on to this kind of lunacy. We need to stop it now.
All right, well, we have a PetSmart spokesperson here. Locke No, is that right? Locke No? Hello?
Hello.
Hi, Mr. No.
Mr. No.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you now. Thank
Good morning.
You.
Sorry about that.
That's okay.
All right. Now, Mr. No, I don't know if you were able to hear the conversation we were having prior to us trying to get you on the air, but our friend Ralph has some concerns about this current PetSmart campaign where pets are referred to as children. Are you familiar with the campaign he's talking about?
Absolutely.
How did this get started? Is this new for PetSmart this year?
No, actually, PetSmart has been always calling our customers pet parents because...
Boo!
parents.
Let him speak.
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, because of the bond that pet owners have with their pets. It's like
and a noble, and a noble, lovely bond it is, too. But can it just be that? Can it be a separate thing between the pets and the owners? They have their own unique bond instead of trying to draw some sort of connection to parents and children where human beings are involved.
Oh, absolutely. You know, most people have children and have pets. But for those that don't have children, their pets are their children.
Yeah, right. That's wrong,
and
though.
They treat them like their children, but dressing see, them yes. up, having birthday parties.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about.
Buying them Christmas presents.
Right. Yeah, we need to stop that, Mr. No.
Those people are bad.
That's Bean, you guys.
Look, this kind of attitude just leads to more dogs wearing sweaters.
Look,
and I'm against that.
Here's the thing.
They get cold sometimes.
No, they don't. They have a fur coat.
Here's the thing, Mr. No. I have kids. I have twins. And I have two dogs. And having dogs is nothing like having kids. It's completely different.
Right. So let's just let that be that.
That's what we're saying.
What kind of dogs do you have?
I have Golden Retrievers.
Golden Retrievers?
Yes.
Okay. Now, Ralph, do you have dogs?
At this time, I don't have any pets, no. I have had pets in the past, though. I love animals. I love pets. I just don't feel the need to become their parent because I'm a human and they're another breed of animal.
We're just fans of keeping animals animals and people people.
No, we at PetSmart have so many different activities that get the pets involved. We've
love that. Love having treating the pets well. Love having a loving relationship with your pet. I can see all of that. I just don't think we need to say that we're parents to them.
No, we allow first thing, we allow our pets to come in and shop at our store.
Right.
So when they come in with leash, it's a fun shopping experience
for the animals. Family. That's
the animals love it.
That's correct.
I don't know if they love it. They also drink water out of a toilet. You know.
We offer them treats.
Lock, listen. Here's the thing. There's a certain part of our of people who are just about to slip into the pool of crazy.
Right.
Now, you at PetSmart, you're not reaching out and grabbing them and trying to pull them back to sanity. You're giving them a little shove into the pool of insanity.
Oh, it's all in good fun.
You know what I'm worried about, Mr. No? Next year, pet husbands. Like, have a real lonely guy. She's a good-looking golden retriever or something.
Oh, no.
And then there's a ceremony. He's wearing a tux, and the dog has a veil. Oh, I'm a pet husband. This is my pet wife, and we're pet spouses.
Do you have PetSmart locations in Kentucky and West Virginia?
I think, Ralph, if you acquire a pet, a cat or a dog, you'll understand the bond that forms between...
It's a great bond. I love my dogs. Yes. Love my dogs. But they're dogs. They're animals. They're not people.
Some of the things that we do to help bring this bond together is we all offer...
He's just got a list. He's just running down the list.
Yeah, look, we all know about PetSmart, by the way. We shop at the PetSmart. We know that it's a great store. We got no complaints about the PetSmart store. That's not what this is about at all.
This is about people that are a little crazy and you helping them right down the path.
No, people aren't crazy. I mean, are actually coming in the month of December to have their pictures taken with Santa.
That was the next one on the list, right there.
Yeah.
Picture with Santa.
So your dog will get a picture taken with Santa.
Your dog, your cat.
We've had different
animals come in. Iguanas.
Yeah, your iguana. Your iguana needs to get a picture with Santa.
Come on, iguana. Come on. Yeah. Come on, iguana. Let's go get our picture taken with Santa.
Do you there, PetSmart, think the iguana has any freaking idea it's Christmas time?
Not if he's Jewish.
Do you have a little menorah for the iguana, too?
We have different decorations that pets can put on.
See, what do you provide for Muslim millipede? That's my question for you, Locke.
Ramadan photos with my gerbil?
It's worse than we thought. They actually have Santa Claus pictures with your pet.
Yeah. See, this is PetSmart's crazy.
A lot further than you thought.
This is lunacy. You're creating a cult of lonely, lonely people who are treating their cats like people.
These dogs and cats, we offer...
next on the list.
Okay.
Go ahead.
All right, Doto, listen, we got to go, but we want to thank you and wish everyone PetSmart a very happy holiday season. Thanks for coming on here, Bruce, all right?
Okay, fine.
He's the guy...
I'm sorry, Ralph, you're going to say something.
He's the guy who's getting cards and then putting his little dog's paw on like an ink pad and then putting it at the bottom of the card and sending it to his wife and stuff. Oh, this card's from the dog, honey. No, it's not!
Nicole in Los Angeles, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Hi, Nicole. My parents have done all of the above. They put the antlers on the dogs. They take them to Petco. They take the pictures for Santa. They took the dogs to the drive-thru at In-N-Out every single year to get them a cheeseburger and fries. They take it home. They put it on a plate.
All right, wait a minute.
They sing to him.
Oh,
this is
God.
A birthday gift?
He probably gets better gifts than me. They tell me he's my brother. Oh. They refer to the dog as my brother.
They refer
Nicole,
to the dog as your brother.
Have you put your foot down?
Yeah. It's just, they just don't get it.
What is it you've done that makes you so disappointing to your parents that they have to look for that relationship elsewhere?
Because really, it's weird that people with children would treat an animal. Usually it's the childless people that adopt the animals.
It got worse when I moved out.
Of course, yeah.
Which is horribly tragic in its own right when the childless people start doing it and they get really delusional. But it's still insane.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we don't want that to happen. But when they have kids and they're doing it, your parents are effed up,
or
Nicole.
She was a bad kid being
sad. Yeah, tell me about it.
So, Nicole, you're going to be in all kinds of therapy for quite some time over this, aren't you?
I know it. It's already started.
Thank you.
See, I never understood what's wrong with treating the dog like a dog. Like, it's a cool dog, and I give it a bone, and, you know, we'll go out in the park and fetch a steak and that kind of stuff. What's wrong with that relationship? Why does it have to become child-parent and get all Freudian and freaky?
But I'm going to tell you, Ralph, and I know you're just going to yell at me because I'm saying it, but I honestly believe that this is true, that the vast majority of people who use the term, hey, that you know, the pet is my kid or whatever, they don't have. It's not a weird, freaky, bizarre relationship. It's just a terminology to express closeness is all it is. They're not trying to claim that it's a substitute for a child. I think most people,
I think you're
they're
wrong.
Not saying it's the same as a child. They're just saying that's what I call it because, you know, because I love this animal. That's
Listen,
all.
You give your dog parties and put hats on them, Bean. You're the last guy should be turning it to here.
Take me out of the equation. I'm just talking about in general.
Everyone, hold on then.
That's my feeling.
Let's put Heather into this situation. Good morning, Heather.
Hey, guys.
From Mission Viejo, tell us about your dog, Lily.
Lily is my dog. She's 1.5. She's an English bulldog, and she is my baby. She goes everywhere with me. She has birthday parties, picture taking with Santa, gets dressed up. I wipe her. I have baby wipes, and I clean her off after every time she goes to the bathroom.
Wow!
Like a baby.
Oh, you don't,
Heather. You know you're living a tragic life. You know that, don't you,
oh,
Heather?
No, you don't.
Seriously, Heather,
well,
do you think your dog? You think your dog enjoys any of that? The pictures with Santa, the birthday parties. Is that really for your dog, or is it more for you, you self-centered
he
wench?
He does, and I have photo albums, and I take her to her vet. I drive her to a vet 2 hours away just because.
Heather.
She's special.
Heather.
I took her there yesterday. I drove 2 hours each way to Riverside to the 909.
We don't doubt that.
I have no problem with you giving excellent medical care to your pet. I have no problem with any of that. But the pictures with Santa and the birthday parties and the wipe in the butt, that's just wrong.
Let's focus in on the picture with Santa, Heather. The picture with Santa. Does your dog have any concept of who this person is, why you're there, any of that?
She was actually terrified.
Exactly. She's scared to death.
Do that?
You force your dog to sit with some stranger for a photo that only you were appreciating. That's cruel.
It's the same way with little kids. The little kids get terrified and parents do it to their
but
kids.
Heather,
Heather,
listen to me. The kids grow up and realize what Santa is and love it. The dog never does.
Do you consider your dog your child?
Yes, I do, but it's because I'm only 20 years old. I'm not ready to have kids yet. So for me, a dog.
And you don't have kids,
fine.
Is what we're saying. You don't have kids.
20.
Okay,
right.
But you don't have kids. You have already resigned yourself, I assume, to never dating, right?
No,
there's not going to be a man in your life.
He lives with us. My boyfriend's her dad.
And he's also been neutered.
Oh, God.
My boyfriend
is her
dad.
You found a man to put up with this crap? Hold on to him, because this is the only one you're getting.
Heather must be very hot.
Be a pet parent if you have a dog. It's if you have a cat that makes you crazy.
Oh, it's a cat.
If you're a pet parent to a cat, then you're crazy.
Okay. Heather, you know, you should do everyone a favor and go out to Toys R Us and buy yourself a doll. Just get a baby doll and just direct all your insanity towards that and leave the dog alone.
Heather, I'm just going to ask you one more question, and that's why can't you just be a 20-year-old without a kid with a boyfriend who loves her animal, her dog, and treats it like an animal, like a dog.
But that's exactly what I do.
No. Listen, all of us are saying you're crossing a line, Heather. Every one of us is saying you're crossing a line here.
You
that
are the jackpot.
If
I don't give her the attention, she'll hide in the corner. She gets mad at me if I don't.
Well, you've made her psychotic.
You spoiled her.
She's scared of you.
Right. If you all are right, a pet parent, then human services should come and take your child away.
That's right.
No,
I agree.
My dog has never spent one night in the backyard alone.
You know what? I think the dog is fine. The dog needs therapy. Heather needs to go to Puppy Lake.
Yes. Burlap sack.
Puppy Lake, that's horrible.
Burlap sack for you.
Thank you,
Cinder
Heather.
Block around your ankles. Bye-bye.
QVC.
Whatever's on the screen,
this
you get.
This is nerve-wracking because, again, this could be a $1,000 item for all we know, or it could be $2.
We have the vinyl lanyard make-your-own keychain set.
Usually it's turquoise jewelry.
Three different size rings.
Oh, that's nice.
I've not seen you wear much turquoise jewelry. Mm. What have you done with all that?
Yeah. Huh.
I get so nervous when we make
this. Happy holidays from QVC. This is Ruth. Can I have your item number, please?
Hi, Ruth. This is Kevin and Bean. We're calling from K-Rock Radio in Southern California. We're on the air. How are you?
I'm fine.
Terrific. Ruth, every year for Christmas, we call the QVC with our friend Lisa, who works with us here on the show.
And hi, Ruth.
And we buy for her whatever is on the screen. And this is, I have an account with you, and we do purchase it, and we're not going to waste your time here, but we don't know what item you're currently selling, but we would like to purchase it.
Whatever's on the screen. What's on the screen right now that you guys are selling?
What I have on my screen right now is a Samsung 29-inch widescreen high-resolution television.
No!
M2954.
Wait a minute.
What is it's a 29
high resolution?
It's like a D. What
is
do
that
you call
a TV
those?
Screen?
HDTV thing?
It's let me read.
No, just read the price. Really is.
Flat screen.
It's widescreen. It has a high resolution PC monitor. I don't know the
high resolution PC monitor.
That's one of those flat monitors.
Oh,
29
my
inches.
God.
I hope we don't get disconnected, Ruth. It would be awful if we had to call back in 10 minutes.
Ruth, how much is this item, Ruth?
What happened to the Southwestern jewelry?
Let Ruth speak.
What's the price on it?
How much?
It is right now. It is $4,885.25.
Yes. Oh, I just shake my headphones off.
That's so funny.
Kidding?
And so this is Christmas.
Ruth, how much is it really?
Oh my God.
It's $4,885.25.
Ruth,
we'll take two.
Can we do this on Easy Pay?
Oh my God.
You know where you break it up in two payments?
Who's it goes
there
on
is no payment plan.
No,
put
it all on the credit card.
Well, then we'll just have
Baxter.
To buy it like this.
Baxter is the credit card you'll
be
using.
Put that credit card.
Ralph,
on there.
Is this a friend of yours that you set up to have us call?
I wish.
Play in the park.
I wish I had this kind of genius.
We're not buying you a $5,000.
Yes, you said whatever was on QVC.
Yeah, but that's because it's always jewelry.
This morning you said you would do it. Oh. You guys,
Ruth, you're sick.
You have gotten off.
Is it,
wait a minute.
Is it still on the screen, or has it moved on to something else now?
It is on the screen for 4 more minutes.
Four more minutes.
All right, let's stall. Lisa, do you have a computer at home?
Of course I have a computer.
At home?
Yes, at home. This is like a TV, isn't it?
Well, it's a computer screen. Is it a TV or is it a computer screen?
It's a TV, sir, that also, I think...
Oh, you can double.
You can also plug it in.
That's the way they're coming now, yeah.
So you can put it to cable into it or your computer.
Sir, it is. It says, this is one seriously thin TV.
Great.
That is
too.
So awesome.
You know what's funny is I thought you said it was $4,800.
Yes, sir. It's $4,885.25. Would you like me to?
Yeah.
Yes.
Hold on, Tom. Ma'am.
Tom.
Tom, yes.
As a decade of listening to Kevin and Bean, that made it worth it.
Yes!
And Lisa, do not walk out of that building until they pay for it.
Thank you, Tom.
All right, Tom. Thank you. Bye.
Well, that is awesome.
I feel like we would be really bad guys if we didn't buy
it. I'm fine with that.
You said you would.
Listen,
I'm fine with that too.
I'm fine with being a really bad guy.
I don't see how we can not buy it. I don't see any way to walk out of here.
Of course you can.
We give each other, you know, there's limits. At Christmas, there are limits.
12 years.
You say, here's the limit. Everybody spends $75 or something like that,
12 years of crap she's sat through.
$30 here for, like, every birthday and every Christmas.
How much is that with tax?
There's no tax on this item, sir.
All right. You know what, Ruth?
It was the nativity made out of popsicle sticks they had last hour.
We'll take it.
We'll put you on hold.
We'll take it, Ruth.
I'll
never do this again.
Jesus. Laurie, you still there?
I'm still here.
Yeah. Great job, sweetie.
Yeah, I love you, sweetie.
That's our friend Laura. We kind of set her up to play the role of a QVC operator. We thought you guys deserved a little smack in the ass.
So good.
You never should have cracked, though, because then we had to buy the TV.
We were going to.
I know you were, but we thought we'd let you off the hook.
You guys are the best. You were actually going to really do
were,
it.
We really were, but yeah. Wow.
So we're going to go into this whole thing about you being cheap bastards.
I know you were supposed to do that in the summer.
You are funny.
Laura, that was so good.
She was excellent.
Laura, you were dead on. It was terrific.
Hey, Laura.
Yes.
Bitch. It's the world famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ, and it's the Kevin and Bean Show.
Guess who's back in the news, Kevin?
Yeah, I know.
The one and only.
One of the stars of the Hills, inexplicably popular, is Spencer Pratt. He joins us in the studio of the world famous K-Rock. Hey, Spencer, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How you guys doing?
There was a report last week that you and Heidi were looking at houses in Malibu.
Minimum 12 mil.
One of them 12 million, one of them 15
million. You don't show up minimum for less than 12 million.
I don't
million.
Show up for a house to view it unless it's at least 8 figures.
And I was reading this about this on TMZ, and Harvey or whoever was writing this said that they thought it was a joke. They thought it was a PR stunt. And then they called the real estate agent, and the real estate agent told them that not only is it not a joke, you looked at both houses, and you could afford them both if you wanted.
Of course I can, kid. Listen, if Harvey Levin Kevin, wants to Kevin. Question my bank, my bankroll, my pockets... Mm-hmm. Send him down here. I'll make it rain on his face with the cash flow because that's how I roll, okay? Because you know what I'm saying? I'm not showing up to a club for anything less than half a billion.
Now, Spencer, when I saw the report on TMZ, I thought, here's Spencer knowing that he'll get on TMZ by showing up at this house that he clearly can't afford. He's just doing it for the publicity so that he feels good about him.
Brenda, listen to me.
Bean.
All right, Captain. You want to question me? I'll send you a package full of cash just to show you who's boss.
Yeah, would you please? I question you, too.
I question you more.
Wait, time out. This whole interview's just gone awry.
What?
Oh. My ears, it's like I can hear a fart. What is that now? Is that a woman talking?
Yes.
Lisa. You've met Lisa.
Heidi is a woman.
Listen, Linda.
Lisa.
Make Daddy happy and go puke up your breakfast.
What the?
Oh, Spencer. Okay,
God
let me ask.
Almighty. You only know someone to hear from you.
Spencer, come on. Look, let's assume for a second that you can't afford the house. I don't still believe it, but let's assume for a second.
Let's assume
that you can afford the house.
In this crazy, bizarro, weird world. Okay. Yeah. Right. Okay. Maybe I don't have money. Weird world, crazy. Yeah, parallel universe. Go ahead.
What do you need with a $12 million house? What kind of space, what kind of amenities do you need, Spencer?
I figured I needed a small, quaint, humble vacation home somewhere I can get away where I could just get away and maybe come into myself and start to realize who Spencer is, you know, when I'm not in my main house, you know. So
this is not going to be your main house?
No.
What?
No.
This is your vacation. You're going to keep both?
Yeah.
It's a weekend place.
I'm thinking about buying just the city of Van Nuys and just making that my house.
The whole city?
My main pad. Because I feel like it's close to Hollywood and all the important places where actors and models live.
Uh-huh.
You know, real people.
Sure.
And I could get good access. Maybe ride the PJ, the private jet, into town. Take it into downtown L.A. from Van Nuys.
That's a long way to go, yeah. So you have to take a private
that's
jet.
Right, Kendall.
Kevin.
All right, Chief. Hey, you want to go lay do later?
No.
I bet you could get there after the show. I know the bouncer.
It sounds like you've done a lot of research in the market. It sounds like you know what you're talking about a little bit.
When it comes to making money, spending money, swimming in money, smelling money,
yeah,
Spencer Pratt's the guy. I know what I'm saying. And real estate's always a solid investment. Right now is a buyer's market, kid. You know what I'm saying, Chief? Yeah. Look at that.
Spencer, what do you want? What are you looking for in a house besides the price tag? Besides that it has to be more expensive than anyone else's house? What else do you need?
I put in a lot of love into my real estate, into my homes, and I want it to love me back. You know, I want a place that really it embodies the essence of Spencer.
And what is that? What's the essence of Spencer?
Success, admiration, the American dream.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? It's all about living the Hollywood la-la-la-la lifestyle. A-list, baby, to the top, Captain. That's right, Chief.
What's going on, Bean and Heidi?
I should be asking you. I don't know. I'm talking.
I don't even hear anything you say. It's just...
Spencer, the real estate dispenser! Spencer, the real estate dispenser!
So
Spencer, the real estate dispenser! Spencer, the real estate dispenser!
I just...
don't even know.
Spencer Pratt, that douchebag from The Hills, the one with Heidi, was seen shopping last week for $12 and $15 million homes to purchase. So Spencer's here with us this morning telling us that he actually knows all there is to know about real estate. So he's offering right. himself up to the listeners who have their questions.
Cashing them checks, having that sex. Word.
Wow. Before we go to the calls, Ralph has joined us. Ralph, you heard Spencer was in here?
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
Here's how desperate I am in my given real estate situation. I'm willing to ask this dude for some advice.
Are you
really?
Serious?
Yeah.
What's the problem?
Look, as we all know, it's a great time to buy right now in a depressed real estate market.
Guys, it's a buyer's market.
Right. You already said that.
That's what Ralph just
but
said.
But the problem a lot of homeowners are having, and myself included, is that you buy a house at a really good price, but it's hard to sell your current home.
Yeah.
Because you end up carrying two mortgages. So what I guess I'm asking is, what can you do to a home in a depressed market where it is a buyer's market to make your home more attractive to potential buyers and to move it as quickly as possible?
That's simple. I'm going to get all Eastern on that ass for you. And it's like Jackie Chan said in The Art of War.
Right.
Remember to expect what is not marginalism.
I don't, it doesn't help me at all, really. What can I do to my house to make it more attractive to buyers?
I mean, you can only lower the price so much, Spencer, right. and then you're losing money. What beyond that can you do?
What can you do to a home to make it more enticing?
Have you eaten at Ketchup?
What?
On Sunset?
No, I've never eaten at Ketchup on Sunset.
What is it? Sea urchin ceviche, sick.
Great. What can I do for my house, though? The house, what can I do to the home, the building, to make it more attractive to potential buyers?
Are you not paying attention, Ralph? I mean, he's giving you two answers.
I can't tell eating a ketchup is going to help people buy my house.
That's because okay. you're not the expert.
Listen,
he knows.
This worked really well for Spence, dog.
All right.
Get like maybe about $7-8 million and build a fountain out of pure ivory tusks from elephants that you killed yourself in Africa with your lady Heidi, and then you build this fountain that shoots champagne, Cristal. Yeah.
So
and then
build an $8 million yeah, ivory
right
champagne fountain.
And then have 50 Cent there to perform,
and then have
to
50
unveil
cent.
The fountain. Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
all right,
I appreciate it.
I guarantee
you know. That's very
you'll
helpful.
Get people interested in it. And right now, I don't know if I told you this, Linda. Buyer's
Lisa.
Market.
It's Lisa. Buyer's market. It is a buyer's
right.
market.
Yeah, I've heard
there you
that.
Go, Ralph. Let us know how that goes.
I will.
Yeah.
Thanks so much. Let me just scrape together my $8 million for my champagne.
Sick. Easy, man.
It's not easy.
Let's
it
try. Is. Joe is in Riverside. He's on line 5 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Joe, you're on with Spencer, the real estate dispenser. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Spencer. How are you
doing? Hello.
Four?
Huh?
Number one at the same time, or buy a house. Which do you suggest?
Okay, he's cutting that out there at the beginning. Say it again, Fernando.
Okay, I'm trying to buy an apartment for a four and live in one apartment.
What is this word apartment? I don't understand.
He's asking if he's going to buy an apartment or a house.
What's an apartment?
Oh, he wants to buy a building, live in one, rent out the
what
rest
do you mean,
to
what's
defer
an
the
apartment?
Cost of the mortgage. I got you.
I'm sorry, this weird term you're saying.
Apartment?
Yeah.
What it's a that? Place that
it's
you rent for.
It's
stay.
A building
no.
that has
what?
A lot of different places
it's
to live in.
Little things
it.
That people.
Yeah.
Sick. Disgusting. What do you don't even come with that to the Spence dog? When I'm talking about cash money. I'm talking about millionaires. Chicka-chang. Okay.
But what if Fernando
ching ching? You hear that? That's a cash register. You know what that represents? The green. A shower and a dog. I don't even think about those small little boxy places.
But Spencer, he's talking about owning an apartment building though, which seems like it might be a good investment because then you get to charge other people rent. You get money coming in.
Fine.
What
neighborhood are you looking at to buy this apartment complex thing?
I'm looking into Huntington Beach.
Huntington Beach.
Well, that seems
that's
good.
Not bad. That'd be nice. Yeah. What do you think, Spence?
Most people live in apartments, I would guess.
Puke. Okay, let me think here. What you should do is, if you're going to buy that type of like building, mm-hmm. as we call it, look more towards Beverly Hills.
Oh,
Bel Air.
I don't know.
Malibu.
Maybe he can't afford that.
I don't know that there are apartments in any of those places
well,
either,
a good
by the
point
way.
Too.
Okay. And my point exactly. Touche.
What's going on? You and Heidi?
I should be asking you. I don't know. I don't talk to him.
I don't even hear anything you say. It's just.
Spencer, the real estate dispenser! Spencer, the real estate dispenser!
This is so stupid.
Spencer, the real estate dispenser! Spencer, the real estate dispenser!
I just don't even know.
Very rarely is Kevin a big enough man to come in and admit that he was wrong and we were right.
Exactly.
We were talking about wax museums the other day, and I was saying that they're lame because...
Because he, and we pointed out correctly, by the way, that you had not been to a wax museum probably in 20 years.
In a while,
and you
right?
should go and you would see how wrong you were and how magical they are.
So yesterday, I went,
yeah,
Lightning and I, to the Hollywood Wax Museum to really understand the art.
Right there on Hollywood Boulevard, Hollywood
yes.
and Highland, right?
Right there.
Yeah.
And filed a little report, and then I'll give you my findings after we play it.
What's your most popular wax figure?
Internationally, it's got to be Marilyn Monroe, because that's just an icon.
And does everybody want to get their picture taken with her?
Yeah, absolutely. That's part of the great thing. You come down to Hollywood Boulevard, want to see stars, and we kind of make that happen in our own little way.
Except for they're not stars, they're wax.
Well, we kind of glaze over that point. So
the first wax person that I see when I come in is David Hasselhoff.
Yeah, see, dreams do come true. No, we have David, Pam, and Alexandra.
All right, now tell me the truth. Do guys climb over this rope here just to get in and try and grope Pam?
Pretty well every day.
Really?
So much that we've had to put an alarm on this particular set.
Really?
Yes. So,
I'm just going to step over this thing.
I think.
And feel the breasts. Those are much harder than real breasts. You know that, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
What the hell happened to your alarm?
I know. Hey, guys, come on down. You can walk in the set without an alarm. Okay. So then you have your most famous, Marilyn Monroe.
All right.
I don't know if you know the honorary mayor of Hollywood, Johnny Grant.
Oh, that guy hates us with a passion.
Oh, does he? Yeah. I don't even want to know the story behind that.
Can I do bad things to his statue?
No.
Hey, excuse me. What are your names?
My name is Anna.
Anne?
Maddie.
And what was your favorite wax statue so far?
Marilyn
Monroe.
Yeah, we came for her.
You came just to see the wax statue?
Of Marilyn.
Really?
Yes.
How many times have you seen the wax statue of Marilyn?
About three times.
Three times?
Yeah.
And did you take your picture next to her?
Yeah, I
and
did.
You know that it's not her?
Yes, I do.
You know that it's wax?
Yes.
Wow, you're scaring me right now.
No.
How much did it cost you to get in here?
$15.
And how do you feel about that?
Pretty good.
Okay, now we're walking into the Elvis. Oh, this must be the Vegas section.
Yeah, this is the Vegas section.
That is not what that is. That, I got to tell you, that's the worst looking Whoopi Goldberg I've ever seen.
There you go.
Really, look at that. Look at the Whoopi. Jesus Christ. Hey, how are you, sir?
Good, how about you?
Good. What's your favorite thing so far here at the Wax Museum?
Marilyn, I think.
What about Whoopi Goldberg? Does that look anything like her?
Funny.
It's funny, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my favorite, Celine Cruz. Oh, Celia Cruz. I don't know who she is.
She's a star. She's very famous.
All right. This is the very popular Sylvester Stallone cliffhanger set.
Yes. That's him scaling the walls with his rope.
From Cliffhanger.
From Cliffhanger. Very famous movie that he did.
Not Rocky. Not Rambo. Rambo.
You know what? We go
Cliffhanger.
Through, that was at the time when we were doing the figure. That was his last movie. And so we did that movie for you. Actually, you're going to like this next set the most, I think. If you just kind of peek around the corner here, what happens is...
You put together, in one display, you've got the Beatles standing next to NSYNC.
Oh, that is correct. That is correct. What we want to do is...
bullshit.
We want to...
I don't even like the Beatles.
We want to create emotion here, and I think we do that. With
the
this
Beatles stuff. Next to NSYNC.
Yes, yes.
Bullshit.
So we have the young tykes come in with their parents, and they play back and forth which song they like, and it's a continual argument.
Oh, I see. So you can push the Beatles button if you want to listen to the Beatles music.
Exactly.
And then NSYNC if you want to kill yourself.
Yeah, there you go. Tomb Raider and the Planet of the Apes.
Okay, yeah. Oh, Tomb Raider. Oh, look at her.
Angelina Jolie.
Mind if I check those?
I don't think I have a choice, do I?
All right, here we go. This is Angelina Jolie as Laura Croft. And, oh, very nice. Very nice. Those are lifelike.
Yeah. We could just do a full boob tour for you. And then Antonio Banderas.
Antonio Banderas.
In his Zorro.
Antonio Banderas.
That's...
You have a wax figure of Antonio Banderas?
Yeah. What do you think?
Bullshit. Here's a very popular Around the World in 80 Days set. And then here's Jesus Christ and the 12 apostles.
This is the Last Supper. Actually, it is one of our more popular sets. People will sit here up to 25 minutes as it tells the story of the Last Supper.
Which one is Judas?
Two over from Jesus on the left.
Sorry.
And then we have Home Alone 2. Not one that...
Hey, girls. Do you like the Home Alone 2 wax figures?
Yes.
Yes? Are you going to get your picture taken next to the guy with the bucket on his head?
No.
No. Thank you.
See what you've been missing all these years? You just got to open yourself up. To the,
right, yeah, you're absolutely
you're
right.
Around. I can see you coming
you're
around.
Absolutely right. This is better than I could have ever imagined.
And we're coming through the very end here.
Okay, this is the big finale.
What? We're this is, yeah.
What's the
I
knockout?
Know if it's a big finale, but.
What's the knockout? Steven Seagal in Exit Wounds.
Yes.
You have Steven Seagal from Exit Wounds. Steven Seagal in
okay,
Exit Wounds.
Here. We should take a look and kind of. Our grand finale is.
But Exit
oh.
Wounds.
Exit. Oh, yeah. Well, I. Steven Seagal is
admit that's lame.
Yeah, okay. It's
admit it's lame.
I, you know,
admit
I can't.
It.
I can't. He's done more than I have in my
admit
life.
Admit that that's
he's done
a
more
lame.
Than I have.
That is fucking lame. Admit it.
Okay, the figure's good, but maybe not Steven Seagal as the big punch at the end you're looking for. Is that
close enough?
Is that, okay, good. Thank you.
That guy was the nicest guy in the world. His grandfather started the wax museum.
See? So you're attacking his family business.
And you walked through there just insulted him every figure.
What
artisans.
A
and,
pig.
And after having said that, wax museums are so much worse than I could have ever imagined.
But the artistry.
I didn't even know what I was talking about when I hated wax museums
what
before.
About the artistry?
I had no idea. The artistry is awful. That's the one selling point. You guys are, oh, they look just like celebrities. They look nothing like the celebrities. Whoopi Goldberg, she was nothing like her. I swear to God, Michael Jordan was 105. Ronald Reagan, nothing like Ronald. He had to tell me who half the people were. They were awful.
Maybe you forgot who they were.
They were awful. Possible. They were terrible.
Because Bean has a picture with the Dalai Lama that he treasures.
You understand that the Sylvester Stallone was from
Cliffhanger.
Cliffhanger.
Right.
Yeah.
And the end was Exit Wound.
Yeah. Well, look, I haven't been to the Hollywood Wax Museum. Maybe
wait
it's
a
not
minute.
The best of the wax museums.
Exit Wounds.
With Steven Seagal.
I think he's actually crying.
Hey, that was magic. I'm glad you guys made me go. I really appreciate it because that is so much worse than I ever imagined. The artistry blows. These people are blind or something. They're just terrible artists. Terrible.
So what was your gut feeling when it was all
not
over?
Bad. It's the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ, and it's the Kevin and Bean Show.
We got to take care of the most important business, maybe not just of this week, but maybe of my whole life, and that's the fact that DJ Stryker here on the world-famous K-Rock has a tail.
Yes.
Has a tail.
What? It's what, very
Ralph?
Exciting.
What's the problem?
I just think...
Has a tail.
This smacks to me of urban legend already.
But we
what
know
are you
that,
about?
That some people do.
Yeah, but... I don't think this is something you just find out about somebody.
All right. Before
it was
we
up
talk
to him, he's the one who kept it a secret all these years. He's the one who just finally brought it up on Loveline the other night.
Before we talk to Stryker.
Stryker has a tail!
Tail. We have a theme.
Now, he has a theme. That's awesome.
Wow, how much went into that? A lot, you can tell. Stryker!
Well, what are you hearing exactly?
That you have a tail.
That's exactly it.
Okay. All right. I'll field that one. Dr. Drew was going around at Acoustic Christmas. This is my memory. It may not be exactly right, but he was going around at Acoustic Christmas telling everybody he had just found out that you had a tail. I guess it's something that came up on Loveline, and he was, I mean, he's a reliable source, I think. If Dr. Drew says it, it's generally true, and he said that he even felt it through your clothes, and it's really there, and you can wiggle it.
Did you ask him where his father was and what's going on with him?
Yeah, no kidding. That's Drew's answer to everything. You were touched, weren't you? You were touched. And the poor listener goes,
molested
no,
as a
no,
child.
You were touched. Okay, I was touched.
Stryker, where would he be getting something like that? He didn't pull that out of thin air.
No, he didn't really pull out of thin air. You know, sometimes when you're talking on the radio, you kind of forget you're on the radio.
Right.
So we're talking to some lady, and actually, I don't remember what she was talking about. And I'm like, Drew, I have something on the bottom of my back that is kind of weird. And when I move it like that, I don't know what the hell this is, but I think it's normal. And he said, let me feel it. So I got in that somewhat weird position. It's definitely above the anus, boys.
But yeah, uh-huh. You got that position that you used to be in. All
right. Right. And then Jared Leto. And then he grabbed it, and you know when you freak the doctor out with a weird thing,
yes,
you know something's there.
When you freak out Dr. Drew, who's seen everything,
yes,
this is Dr. Drew from yesterday on our show.
You say you examined it. You didn't actually see it, though, right?
No, I keep telling him I'd like to see it, but he will not let me see it. But I have examined it, and Lisa Warden examined it too.
Oh,
and get
wow.
her in there. She will tell you in glorious detail. She
all right, there
out.
You go, Lisa Warden. Saw
music
it too.
Director, K-Rock.
She's our music director.
Drew told us in the conversation yesterday, Stryker, that it is not a, I mean, it's not common by any stretch of the imagination, but among things, I mean, it's not unusual for a doctor to encounter those throughout his life. I mean, he said it does happen, but that yours was a pretty good-sized tail.
Well, I'm crazy, man.
Dude.
What?
He's crazy.
You know what that means, Stryker?
Stryker has a tail!
Tail.
Stryker,
I love how you guys call it a tail, and I will go with tail. And there is a big bone there when I move and might twist my back a little bit. But if you wanted to take a picture of my rear end,
yes, that's what we'd like to do. In an odd way,
I don't think you would say that man is a monkey necessarily walking around.
So would you see a tail if we saw your lower back?
Sorry to sadden you, but you would not.
You wouldn't.
Aww.
See, I told you. This is all just any, hype.
Any sort of nub at all?
Is that Lisa May?
Yes. Yeah, she wants to know about your nub.
Lisa May, yeah, for you.
Yeah.
Okay, hold on a second. Because Dr. Drew, he held up his fingers to indicate that it was like a couple of, what? What is everybody laughing at now?
Psychomite is retching in the corner into the trash can.
He's throwing up.
He's throwing up.
Stop it.
He has a problem with this topic. It grosses him out. I don't know why.
What's there to throw up about? This is the greatest news in the world.
The things that don't make him throw up. And then this does.
He's
amazing.
He's literally throwing up.
Dr. Drew said it's a couple of inches long and you can actually wiggle it. Is he overstating the case, Stryker?
He's slightly exaggerating, I would say. There is something there. It's not there when I'm just standing up, but if I contort myself, there is something there.
Okay.
And, you know, and I always thought, honestly, it was something normal until I finally was with a certain human being, a lady, when I finally got some in my life. And she's like, what the hell is that?
Now, here's where that brings us to point number two with our conversation with Dr. Drew yesterday.
There's a piece of the story here I want to let Stryker tell you. It somebody actually tipped him off. He thought everyone had one.
All right. So what is the story that you need to tell us that somebody tipped you off?
Honestly, I had felt it in my life. Like if I would do, like he mentioned, certain positions, like if I would do sit-ups, I would feel it, and I would like kind of move to one cheek a little bit while doing them.
Right.
And no one
Stryker has a tail!
So you can't do sit-ups.
My mother never said anything. My father, nobody.
Well, they don't want poor little Stryker to know he's got a tail. You know?
I got bad parents, man.
Yeah.
But then,
yeah.
All right, so who's the girl that found out?
I don't even know. It was in the late 90s in Tucson, Arizona.
Right.
And she's like, what is that? I'm like, I don't know. Just throw my bones out there.
It's just my bone out there.
It's my butt knuckle.
I cannot crack the knuckle, Ralph.
Oh, it's too bad. We were talking yesterday about whether this is feasible, because I'm having trouble, without a photo, I'm having trouble visualizing what you're packing back there, Stryker. But could you have a girl in front of you and a girl behind you and be doing them both at the same time?
You know what? That is quite possible.
Never tried it.
Oh, never thought about that, did you?
You'd be willing to, wouldn't you?
Nice.
Stop throwing up! Seriously.
Is he really still vomiting?
Yes!
He is such a freak.
Yeah. You know how people find certain things just repulsive? I've never seen
nothing
anybody.
Nothing grosses Mike out.
Yeah, but especially this.
Yeah.
This is the best news ever.
But a little protrusion on the coccyx, and he goes all to pieces.
Easy there. Stryker, does it have fur on it?
Oh, my God.
Well, there is no fur on there.
There's no fur.
Okay.
No, seriously, Stryker, how far does it stick out if you had to guess?
You got to ask Dr. Drew because he's the one that corrects.
Well, you can
live with it your whole life.
You can give us an estimate. Is it less than 1 foot?
Less than 12 inches?
Yeah, I'm just joking. Give us an estimate of some kind.
Have you ever seen a baboon's ass?
Sure.
Yeah.
I guess. I don't know.
Kind of like that.
It's like a baboon's ass.
I am just
okay.
So you're red and inflamed as well?
No, it's a couple inches.
A couple inches?
Stryker,
that's significant.
Does it wag when a fire truck goes by?
No, but it wags when I go by the hydrant.
It does.
There we go.
Oh, there you go.
Nicely done.
Can't, Can you use it for anything? Can you dial a phone with it? Can you make a cup of tea with it?
It's like 20 questions. Doorbell? You're trying to figure it out. Bring it in a bread box. Can you use it for anything?
Why would he ever try to dial a phone with it?
I'm trying to find out how useful it is.
What sense does that make?
Bean had when he tried.
Stryker, have you ever dialed a phone with it?
No, but I wish they had that old show from the 70s and 80s. That's incredible. I could go on there.
Yes, you could.
Fran Tarkington would introduce you.
Yeah. Here's another question I have for you. And of course, I have a million questions, but we're going to run out of time here in a second. Ralph said this is not the type of thing we would find out about you at this point. And that brings up this question. Why has this never come up? You've been doing Loveline for a long time. You've been on K-Rock for years and years and years. Why has this never been revealed before this week?
The main reason is not because I'm super shy or anything about it, although it does kind of weird me out that now freaking everyone that listens to K-Rock knows. But just because it just seems somewhat normal to me until Dr. Drew felt it, and he freaked out about it.
Yeah, that's not something you want to have happen. Dr. Drew has a calm demeanor no matter what goes on. If you right, freak him true. Out, there's something wrong.
Correct.
But I don't believe you, by the way, that you say you thought it was, I mean, you thought it was normal when you were 13 or 14 or 15, but then once you started being with the ladies and started seeing other guys and other women that didn't have a tail, you had to realize you were one in a million.
I wasn't grabbing men's buttocks.
No, well, but you certainly saw that other guys didn't have it though. You've known for a long time that you're a freak show, right?
A little bit.
Weren't you like playing football in high school and you're hanging out in the locker room and you go, "Woo, I got hit right in the tail today. That hurt like crazy." And the other guy said, "What? What are you talking about, tail? Didn't something like that
Coach,
happen?
Where do you keep the tail pads?"
Your whole
jeez, we don't have any tail pads, son.
Your whole life? Come on. You don't go through life with a tail and think it's normal?
No, you learned very early in life that you're one of a kind.
I love Stryker.
Yeah, most people aren't doing sit-ups, so they start spinning, like a top because they're on their tail.
Stryker, you rule. Who better to be hosting Loveline than a guy with a tail? Seriously.
Absolutely.
That rules.
And by the way, please don't misunderstand our interest in this story, Stryker. There's zero downside to this. It has raised you in our estimation. Seriously, you're now our hero. In fact, I'm a little bit afraid that you're going to be leading some sort of monkey revolution against us. I'm a little worried that you're the head of the team that's going to overthrow the America. I don't know.
Stryker, you're the best.
You guys are too.
And we
congratulations,
love you.
I guess.
Congratulations on having the tail, I guess.
Stryker has a tail.
Tail.
Do you want to borrow that jingle for Loveline?
Yeah, can I please have that?
Sure.
Stryker has a tail.
Tail.
Absolutely.
All right, good luck to you, Monkey Boy. Thanks for coming on K-Rock. Is the Kevin and Bean Show on 106.7 KROQ.
I've learned. Look, I know. I love the Armenian comedian. I could talk to him from 6 o'clock till 10 o'clock every single day, and I would think it would be the best show that I have ever done in my life. But I understand that there's many, many of you that just completely disagree with me. I'm getting used to that. It's okay.
All right.
I'm fine with that. So, but I would like you to do something for me right now. I would like you to go to thearmeniancomedian.com. Go to that site. Right
now. He has a website.
TheArmenianComedian.com.
Oh, my God.
Type that in, and what comes up is this picture of Sam without his hair. He's bald.
That's a beauty shot.
Mm-hmm. And he's pointing to each side of his temple with his hands. And he's got a lovely, lovely sweater on. And it says TheArmenianComedian.com, and right underneath it is the big headline, From Radio and TV Broadcast to Your Bedroom.
How is he in my bedroom?
I don't know what that means.
I don't either.
That's his main slogan, from TV and radio broadcast to your bedroom. What's that mean?
Think we only listen to the radio in our bedroom?
Look, this is Bean speaking. I'm the last guy who ought to be allowed to ask this question, but why the hell does Sam need a website?
Yes, fine. Hey, Sam?
Hey.
Well, first of all, why do you need a website?
Oh, because I'm celebrity. Soon I'm going to be all over.
He has a good point. He has a good
all
point.
All over what?
Now, Sam, my question for you is, it says TheArmenianComedian.com, from radio and TV broadcast to your bedroom.
Oh, because most of the computers are in bedrooms.
Oh.
Is that true, Sam? I've not seen any survey on that.
It's not in the living room, of course.
Oh, I see.
Not in the dining
room. Okay, so that's what you were referring to, is that you thought everybody has their computer in their bedroom, so that's where you are.
Right.
Okay, I didn't know if it was some kind of sexual innuendo or what you were talking about.
You can say that, too, if you want.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Okay. Now, Sam, for folks who don't listen very often or haven't been listening for long, is an all-around entertainer. He's a true Renaissance man. He's a singer in a band. He, of course, is a very accomplished comedian. He's a children's entertainer. He's a clown. He really does it all. And you're going to keep us up to date with everything you've got going on in the world of the Armenian comedian with your new website, right?
Yeah. right now, he's in on a construction situation.
Sure.
So I'm going to start selling my T-shirt, the Armenian Comedian T-shirt.
What is it? Is it a slogan or just your picture? Or what is it?
A slogan.
Slogan. What's the slogan?
The ArmenianComedian.com, and then all the variety of menu that I'm going to provide in the future.
But
like, for example, play recorder like Sam.
What?
You know,
you're going to teach people how to play the recorder?
Right.
Oh, because the ArmenianComedian.com is not a slogan.
It's a way of life?
Yeah. Okay, but anyway, it says on your website, home to Sam the Armenian Comedian, heard on LA's 106.7 K-Rock FM. Can you take that off?
I can't.
Yeah,
I think I'm already there.
I know, but our lawyers have contacted us. They told us that you're not allowed to use this without our permission.
Yeah.
Well, I need a permission then.
Sorry.
Well,
man,
you need to fill. There's so much paperwork you're going to have to fill out.
Apologize for that.
Yeah, this will be tied up in the courts for years. Yeah. I'm sorry. You just have to remove it between now and then.
And seen on ABC's Jimmy Kimmel Live show. I'm sure he'll be calling you soon. Then the next thing is current projects, and he's got the Sam's Rock and Roll Revolution Band.
Yeah.
I don't know how many of you have heard Sam's Rock and Roll Revolution Band, but which one is I Just Want to Love You?
Right.
That's the best song ever.
I just want to forget you, baby. And I know it's impossible.
Come on.
It's magic.
Come on with that. Where's Stop Spraying Bullets? Give me Stop Spraying Bullets.
Wake up, teenagers. Don't play with the guns.
Don't play with the guns.
Stop playing with the guns. Spray the bullets on each other.
That's right. Stop spraying the bullets on each other, teenagers.
Yes.
Wow.
That's the message that I think we need to get out today. This is so wonderful, Sam. Now, what is, it says 106.7 K-Rock FM, Jimmy Kimmel Live, Adelphia Public Access Station. I guess you do a show on there.
Yeah.
What is Ding Dong Show?
Speaking the what show?
It says Ding Dong Show. What is that?
Yeah, the Ding Dong Show is the one that I do in the comedy store
with
Tom Barrett.
That's the one at the comedy store on Monday nights or something like that, where he calls it the Ding Dong Show because people like you get on stage and try to be funny.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. And then if you are not good, they ding dong you out.
Got it.
How many times have you been ding dong, Sam?
Yeah. Every time. I haven't been ding dong at all.
Please.
They don't gong you? You sure they don't gong you?
They don't gong me. I want to get off the stage. They keep me on the stage.
Because you're too funny.
See, I'm too funny, and I do each time different thing. And the other characters, they do the same thing over and over again.
Sam, they don't have the talent that you have, the well to draw from.
That's right, you've got depth. What's Sam's documentary movie that you write about on your site? What's that? Is that new?
That is, it's going to come out soon about my documentary, yes.
Okay. Look at that guy that was following you around with the camera. He's making a documentary about your life?
Yes.
Okay, now here's what kills us and what we find very funny is on the very last page where it says contact Sam, you give your pager phone number?
Yes.
You give your home telephone number?
Yes.
Your office telephone number, your email. He gives all of his own personal information out.
Sam, you can't give out your home. You can't put your home phone number on the internet. That can only lead to bad things.
Oh, I don't think so. People love me.
Okay, 818-843-4013.
Sam, you've got a wife and children, though.
Could you mention my pager number to people?
Sure. Pager number is 818-233-0553. Again, the home number, though. Write this down, people, if you'd like to call up and say hi to Sam any time of the day or night. Here's the number, 818-843-4013.
Right.
Sam, why do you want people, in this case, K-Rock listeners, calling you at home, though? How is that good for you?
It is so wonderful because I love my fans.
There was a call waiting right there.
You love your fans. But, I mean, do you want them calling you at all hours of the night just to say hello? Or shouldn't you really just have a contact number for people who want to interview you or people who want to sign you up?
They're already calling me. I got second line coming.
We know. That's what happens when we give out your number, you moron. 818-843-4013. Use it all day long to tell Sam how much you love him.
Kevin, you just want people to bother me, right?
No. I want you to talk to your fans.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sam, you put your
I wanna have your make me a breakfast for me, please.
What are you talking about? You want us to make a breakfast for you?
Oh,
you
mean, I want a breakfast with you.
You mean a breakfast show with you?
Yes.
Yeah. Listen, you're cutting out.
Hey, Sam, I wanted to ask you one more thing because the other part of the website, and I understand it's still under construction, but Sam's recipes are coming soon?
Yes.
And is that going to include your special brownies?
A special, very good Armenian recipes that my mom used to cook. Mm-hmm. I'm going to spread all over.
Okay, but what about the special brownies?
Brownies? Oh, yeah. I'm going to put some herb in there, too.
I thought you would.
Yeah,
okay.
The special brownies. All right, Sam, have you smoked out today yet?
Not yet.
Okay.
If you want to find out...
Pretty soon, though. He said pretty soon, though.
Can I ask you a favor? I want to sing Friday Morning with you guys. Roll another one.
Yeah,
just
you know,
like the other one.
You know what's happened this week, Sam? It's really weird. Is that we're doing that on Saturday? So be here at about 9:30 on Saturday.
Okay, got you.
Bye, bye. Now,
all right. Bye. We'll see you Saturday.
KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show.
First, though, we have to take care of a little in-house business. I'd like to welcome to the studio our friend Kat Corbett is here. First of all, he's going to be coming on at 10 o'clock like every day. Kat's here a little bit early.
A little bit.
Hi, Kat.
She doesn't look happy.
Here's what Kat does.
After our show, she comes in, and I can tell what a bad night it was, or how late it was, or how much she drank by how low she turns the lights.
It's really bright.
She comes in, she goes, "Oh, it's so bright. I got to turn this down." And then she turns it down. I'm like feeling my way out of the room. Bumping into stuff.
It's like being an albino for a minute, isn't it, Kevin?
It is.
And then also in the studio, and I got to tell you, the place has never smelled so sweet. It's Psycho Mike's new bride, Jenny, has also joined us.
Yes.
Here.
Hi,
Jenny.
Good morning.
Why is Dave the King of Mexico in here?
Yeah, that's
a good point. What are you doing in here?
Kat and Jenny are going to talk about making out and stuff. I'm here.
Okay.
All right, cool.
Jenny, by the way, perhaps the most beautiful woman that I personally know, so it's always great to see her again.
Oh, I love Dean.
We have to figure out what we've been hearing so much talk, mostly from Psycho Mike, about the three of you getting together. Take me back to the beginning of the story here, because I'm lost as to what's real and what's just in his fantasy world.
I had no idea what was going on.
Right, but you don't need to, because it's just going to be a wonderful surprise for you, Kat.
We don't need your input.
All right, Psycho Mike, tell us what happened.
We were at Santa Anita, the microbrew, the last one, me and my wife, and Kat's there, and Jenny goes, "Wow, Kat's so pretty. I don't know why Kat's not in television. She should be in television. She's so hot." Duh. And I'm like, "Yeah, you like Kat, huh?" And so then I was like, "You'd totally get it on with Kat, wouldn't you?" She's like, "No, I don't know. Maybe." And she gives me kind of like, "What was me?"
Not.
Now, wait a minute. Did you say maybe or I don't know?
No, I said nothing of the sort. I was actually with a girlfriend of mine, and we pointed out that Kat was way too hot to be on radio. She should be on TV.
Right.
Et cetera. That was it. End of conversation.
Was he imagining the part where he said, "So you want to be with her?"
Oh, completely.
Okay. All right. So now it continues.
And I've always desperately wanted to have sex with Kat Corbett. And then,
well,
like,
who hasn't? Get in line, buddy.
Ever since I've met Kat. But then the thing is I got married. And I figured, well, why should that get in the way?
Right, sure.
So why not just throw my wife in the mix?
So you said so you said to her you want to get it on, and she supposedly said yes.
Well, not so much.
And Psycho
yes.
Mike came in after that day, and every single day since has been talking about this three-way that's going to happen.
Or
with
not
he
at
and
all.
His wife and Kat.
And I felt like a hunted animal behind the scenes.
You should feel like
awesome.
That.
Awesome.
You know, that's what's going on here is the whole...
But it sounds to me like, though, that the story is flawed from the start. If Jenny never said that, then Mike has just created this whole fantasy world that he's living in that there's no hope of anything like that happening.
Bean, wasn't Mike bragging about the fact that Jenny was perfectly fine and okay if Psycho Mike had sex with Kat?
That's true.
What?
He did say that.
He said, "Well, can I just have sex with her?"
Right.
And knowing that he has negative game, he's actually worse than Dave. I said, "Hey, sure, if you can get her to do it, go for it."
Okay, so he came back in going, "Woo, my wife said I can have sex with Kat. This is going to be so great."
I love Jenny. That's
she
great.
She totally gave me the green light, though. At Saturday night at the Weenie Rose, we saw Kat again, and we're talking, and I was like, "Look, all right, if you're not going to get it on with Kat, you know, you should at
then,
least
okay, don't let
the
that go to waste."
Right. Okay, give me the green light, and she
because
did.
She'll she never did. Have sex with you.
Right, but
whatever.
Okay, so but in your mind, if he's able to somehow pull it off, it's okay.
Roofies.
If he can even manage, I mean, I don't know. I really don't have anything to say. I just don't think it's possible.
Kat, do you have anything to say at this point?
Well, the first knock against you is that we work together.
Right.
So,
that hasn't stopped you.
Did
I say that out loud?
So, I kind of like I don't like to get my meat where I get my bread kind of girl. You know what I mean?
I understand. Sure.
I got you.
But let me ask you this hypothetically or theoretically, whichever one it is. I could never keep those two straight. What if it were a consensual three-way thing where you're not, you know, it's with Mike, but it's also with Jenny, and it's just, it's all good and it's all fun. You don't have to worry about anybody's feelings getting hurt. It's just, you know what it is going in. It's just sex.
Jenny has a nice smile, but she's shaking her head no.
See, I have a problem because don't you think Mike's going to be really selfish and it'll be all about him?
He is selfish.
Well, no kidding.
He ruins most things.
Yeah.
Says the woman who's been married to him for 8 months, by the way.
You ruin most things.
I do.
Well, he's a horrible lover. I mean, he's admitted that. We know that's true. But that doesn't mean that he wouldn't rise to the occasion if he had you two lovely ladies.
I think, well, look. I'm a horrible lover for biological reasons. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I have a small wiener. We've talked about the macaroni skin many times. But my sexual appetite, and my wife will have to attest this, is very high. So there's a good chance that I might be able to handle two women, you know, because I could maybe, it might not be a long session, but they'll be numerous. You know what I'm saying? I'll be right back in the action
so
pretty
quickly.
So just
as they're getting into it, you're done.
By the way.
Every single time. You're telling us.
I wish you guys could see Jenny's face now, his wife, because she's looking disgusted. At him like,
first of all, what are you talking about? And second of all, why are you talking about it?
The whole thing is very frightening.
So, yeah. This conversation has left a bad taste in everyone's mouth, is basically
pretty
what you're
bad.
Saying.
So this isn't going to happen then?
No.
You've been talking about the three-way for 4 months.
I know, but I really, you know, it's funny that you mentioned the look on my wife's face. I can't notice it because her breasts are so prominently displayed today.
Have you ever even seen her face, Mike?
No.
We can tell you it's pretty cute.
All right.
Yeah, as so is Kat's, but you haven't seen that either. Okay, so Kat, that's a no from you.
Unless, you know, maybe if you flip me with Jed or Stryker or Nicole, something like that. That way I don't have to directly see you, you know?
Oh, I see. Okay.
Well, see,
okay.
Every day she comes in, she sees me. There you go. Well, lucky for you, Kat, I'm barely competent, and I won't last much longer at this job, so I won't be working here anyway.
And Jenny, that's a no from you as well.
Yeah, no. I love Kat. She's beautiful. It's just, you know, not really my thing.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
You've been leading us on for nothing, Psycho Mike.
You are pathetic.
I can't believe you guys didn't have anything to fill this slot.
We've been trying to talk about this for months.
Speaking of filling the slot, Lisa, my name is Gene Simmons.
Kevin, just answer this question for me. Who's the president of China?
Bean finds this so funny.
Who's the president of China?
He's been laughing about this ever since President Hu, which is his name, H-U, actually came to America, which is about a week ago.
I say, who's the president of China? You say, exactly, and then hit the button.
But that's not funny.
Who's the president of China?
Exactly.
There we go. As you know, the president of China, Hu Jintao, was just here in America for a few days last week. He is gone now, but we finally got a chance to catch up with him and find out how his visit to America was. And also some very surprising news about the Chinese army. We want to run by the president, too. Mr. Hu, good morning.
Hurrah, Kevin and Bean.
Well, hello to you. So people refer to you as who?
I am.
Exactly. All right. How did you?
I am who?
You are who? That's your name.
I am.
Right.
I am president.
Right.
Right. So
who is president?
Well, you are.
Yes.
Who gets your paycheck at the end of the week?
No. What is the Minister of Culture?
Please stop.
Hello, what?
I'm begging all of you. I hate you all.
All right, Mr. President. First
Why?
Of all.
Because you're doing
Why is the defense chair man?
Right.
How? Chun Lo Wan.
All right, Mr. President, we're moving on now. How did you enjoy?
How is the chief of military?
Okay.
Also, how?
Tell me about
I am
your.
Who?
Right. Okay, President Hu, we got that, yes.
I am.
Tell me about your visit.
You're
to
the President Hu. Come on. I am.
Come on.
Seriously.
Tell me about your visit.
It's a 900-year-old bit. Stupid who's on first BS. Come on. Come on.
Can we take this again,
to get to other stuff. I hate you both.
Mr. President.
Who?
Yes, that's your name.
That's the President Hu.
Can we ask you about your visit to the White House?
Hello?
Yes.
I didn't recall you had this sense of humor and you were at the White House the other day when you were being heckled, sir.
Why?
You were being heckled at the White House.
Who was?
Yes.
Exactly.
Come on. Seriously. Come on.
I
I don't think we should go on at this point.
Come on. Come on, who?
You wish.
Seek his...